The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Previously on Preston and Steve.
Our next group of guests played a show last night. How often does that happen? They play a show before and then come in the next morning to do an interview. Very rarely something like that.
It's a pretty brave thing to do.
They were at the TLA and they are supporting their album Murdered Love. You may have heard the song Beautiful from the album here on MMR. Please welcome P.O.D.
Yeah.
We ship.
Morning, guys.
Buenos dias.
Welcome to Philadelphia. Like I said, thanks for sticking around an extra night and then getting up this early and coming in. I heard and I got emails last night that said that it was an awesome show that you guys tore it up. Did you feel pretty good about it?
Yeah, it was a good time. Definitely one of the best shows so far on this tour.
Really?
As far as crowd goes, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys have been on the road for a little while, right? The album came out a year ago.
Oh, yeah, so we've been touring since then. We just got back for a full run in Europe. Went home for about 10 days, and now we're back on the road.
10 days? Yeah. Turn around. Is that even enough time to do anything before you repack? Or do you even pack and just throw it in a bag?
Just catch a couple waves.
Keep the bag open.
Just keep the bag open.
Yeah. Surf like 3 days, sad. And that was good.
I got a detailed email from a guy who was there last night, and I'll run through a couple of things that he said that occurred, and you can comment on it if you want to. And this guy, listener Ray, said that, first of all, POD flattened the TLA last night. He said they had the energy of teenagers. Sonny was climbing through the nearly sold-out crowd for half the show with an energy that was contagious. Were you getting down into the audience, I guess? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's where the fun is.
Okay. Yeah.
Sonny jumped off the stage while singing and caught a crowd surfer that went over the falls and succeeded in not letting her fall on her face.
Yeah,
you remember that?
She would have died.
Yeah? Was she coming off the stage or what?
There were so many people flying over, and the three big security guys were off to the left, yeah. And I saw her coming this way, and I was standing right in front of her, and she literally was, she was a big girl. She was coming over.
Big boned.
And she kind of just
big boned, huh?
huddled over, and she was going to fall straight on her neck, and I just jumped down and just caught her. I think she still banged up her ribs on the side of the cage.
Yeah,
but she would have landed directly on her neck.
Yeah. Nothing brings down a show like generating a few paraplegics, right?
Yeah. He goes on to say security was terrific, but overwhelmed at times by how fired up the whole room was.
Awesome,
it was a great crowd.
It's a good crowd.
And then it says Sonny's son, 6 years oldish, came out on stage and rocked out on a little drum.
Yeah, he played the little djembe, and then Marcos' son Roman came up. He's our hype man.
Nice.
He hyped up the crowd.
He's like the flavor.
So how old are these kids? How old are we talking?
10 and 6.
10 and 6.
Wow.
Really? So the 10-year-old is the Flavor Flav?
Yeah. Flavor Flav.
That's my son. Flavor Flav.
Romy Rome.
Just keep him away from Brigitte Nielsen. You know what I'm saying? She likes that kind of a personality.
And then he writes, also, some man, 60-year-old-ish, managed to climb up on stage and also rocked out briefly with the band loving it before diving back into the crowd.
I'd say more like 80-something.
Really?
Yeah. 80.
Damn.
He's done this before. He makes these appearances at our, Baltimore area.
We call
Jersey.
Him Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers. He's the infamous. And he literally floats. He floated to the stage on live, sang the whole song, and then dove off the stage into the crowd. And they caught him.
So he's just like a hardcore fan of Follows just, You Guys?
Well, we've hung out a couple times after show, and he runs like a boys' shelter, and he does a lot of stuff for the community. He's just a great
right.
dude. And he just loves their music.
I'm curious, because you guys play so much, if at almost every show, one of you says to the other, hey, did you see ... You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Every night?
Oh,
yeah. Every night?
Yeah, pretty much. We're like, did you see that person over there?
That's got to be one of the cooler parts of the job, right?
Everybody's got a different, view and a different perspective. So collectively at the end of the night, we
trade stories.
Trade notes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. So things are, how long you had your 10-day break and now you're back on. How long does this go on for?
Just a 30-day run.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll be hitting up South Pacific and Asia. And so we're staying busy.
Wow, man.
So it's still in support of the album, but, when you're on tour, is that actually, and traveling as much as you guys are, is that just a good time for you guys to write new stuff? Or, do you work on new stuff while you're, because you're forced sort of into proximity, is that the best time to write stuff?
Constantly, we're constantly coming up with ideas. But as far as like getting into a studio and
dropping the idea down.
Yeah.
We don't have time for
you
that.
You got to schedule that.
Anybody got no time for that?
You got bronchitis.
Ain't nobody got no time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right on time.
Yeah, we're good.
We were actually just talking off air. I was asking if these guys have seen...
I got bronchitis. I got bronchitis.
We're asking these guys if they had seen the drumming grandmother.
Yeah, that's just exploded on the internet.
And we just were showing them the video. I'll play a little bit of the audio since we're talking about little video clips. But this is this grandmother who she looks like she's late 70s at least.
Yeah.
And in some
she definitely left something on the drum seat.
Oh. You just ruined it.
That's probably why they gave her the kit.
You can keep it.
Yeah, you can keep it.
Just
that.
Ruined it.
I'm like, that's the sweetest thing I've ever seen. Just ruined it.
If you haven't seen it, she's in some drum shop and just sits down and starts tearing it up. And this is the audio. This is a little bit of the audio.
Oopsie. Made a poopsie.
But she's twirling the stick. Yeah, she's doing the whole deal.
Stick tricks and stuff like that. And then she really starts picking it up here. I love it.
Yeah.
You got to love it. And the they ended up giving her the drum kit.
You can keep it.
at least the seat.
Yeah.
Hey, between her and the guy that stage dove last night.
Yeah.
There you go.
Might be onto something.
Oh, yeah. See?
It's good times for, you know.
Senior citizens.
Right. All right. Well, listen, we know we're going to get some music from you guys. So what would you like to play this morning for us?
I think we're going to play Beautiful.
Okay.
Right. Let's do it, man.
It's absolutely.
We're going to start with Youth of the Nation.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. Whenever you want.
Are we doing two songs?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, right on.
Absolutely. Well, let's do it.
Awesome.
If you're just tuning in, this is POD on MMR, gang. Here we go. Drop.
Up the rest of my life, I wish I would've known, cause I'd have kissed my mama goodbye. Didn't tell her that I loved her, how much I cared. Thank my pops for all the talks and all the wisdom he shared. Unaware, I just did what I always do. Every day the same routine before I skate out of school. But who knew this day wasn't like the rest? Instead of taking a test, I took two to the chest. And call me blind, but I didn't see it coming. Everybody was running, but I couldn't hear nothing except in gun blasts. If that was so fast, I didn't really know this kid to watch the environment class. Maybe this kid was reaching out for love, or maybe for a moment he forgot who he was, or maybe this kid just wanted to be hugged. Whatever it was, I know it's because here we are the youth of the nation. We are we are the youth of the nation. We are we are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. Little Susie, she was only 12. She was given the world with every chance to excel. And with the boys and the stories they tell, she might act kind of proud but no respect for self. She finds love in all the wrong places. The same situation, but different with faces. Changed up her pace since her daddy left her. Too bad he never told her she deserved much better. And Johnny Boy always played the fool. He broke all the rules so you would think he was cool. And he was never really one of the guys. No matter how hard he tried or the thought of suicide. It's kind of hard when you ain't got no friends. He put his life to an end, they might remember him then. He crossed the line, there's no turning back. He told the world how he felt with the sound of a gag. And we are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. We are
are the youth of the nation. That the story goes, will the devil make sense? Somebody's gotta know. There's gotta be more to life than this. There's gotta be more to everything I thought exists. And we are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. We are. The youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
That is POD on 93.3 WMMR with some live acoustic
pieces of Dookie.
So, like we said, you guys are promoting Murdered Love, which has been out for a while now. Is I had earlier played some tracks that have been isolated from albums, and it seems to be more and more happening now. Like I played some Queen earlier, where they took the vocal track and isolated that, and it, for us, for the average person, hearing stuff like that is totally different, out of its element. I mean, when you hear tracks that are isolated, when you guys are in the studio and you're recording, are you a part of the production of the album when you listen to individual tracks and say this will mesh good with that and we should mix it this way, or is that strictly you hand that over to a producer when you do those
hell
things?
No.
we're one of the few bands that from the beginning to the end, maybe we write our own stuff. We're, you know, we enjoy being in the studio. Mm-hmm. Obviously we don't mix it, but we have input. You know, these days bands just want to make it and want to be famous, so they just let everybody else do everything.
Right. You are more hands-on, and you want to sculpt the sound the way you want it.
We're just old school. Like
old school.
Well, it's different now than when you guys started, obviously, because you have a lot of people have access to decent equipment now and can get some pretty close to professional-sounding mixes together. Mm-hmm. You think that's healthy for music in general?
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as you don't play it behind you live.
Oh, yeah. No, there are a lot of people that will have backing tracks. Is that something that
95%? Yeah, and everyone crucified Milli Vanilli, man. What's up with that?
So how many of the bands, when you see people performing, a lot of people go see shows, and it's there are a lot of people that do play backing tracks, and sort of, from what I'm gathering, that pisses you off a little bit. They're not doing it and generating it live.
I think we've just accepted the fact that 21 years later, you're either one of those bands that kind of pioneer sound and just do it because you love it, and you'll be known in the streets.
Right.
And you're a band's band, and then you're that band that they look the part, you know, the studio makes them sound the part.
Right.
The 50 engineers on the road make their live show sound the part, and they're going to play the part.
Right, right.
And so it's catch-22 because, hey, we got bills to pay. You know what I mean? We, you know, we've been working hard, but we're always that struggling, hustling band from day one, and we realized 21 years later that you do it because you love to do it.
Right.
So we've played in front of the biggest crowds to the smallest of crowds. It's still a hustle for us. You know, it's not like, oh, yeah, that's that band. They're huge. They got all the money in the world, and they play the sold-out shows all the time. It's like, nah, there's just a loyalty of fan base that says, I've been following those guys for a long time, and I love watching them live. I love their music.
I remember here, I think it was a long time ago, it might have been Tommy Lee or somebody from Motley Crue who would, they'd pull up to a gig, and even though these guys were in their heyday, they would still every night go, my God, I hope people show up tonight. Oh, please, God, let people show up tonight. Is that a band's one of the big fears?
Asking the tour manager, what's the pre-sale on the show tonight?
Right.
We might be calling in sick.
Only 16,000.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Now, I guess some people could get a little obsessive with it, you know, where that can even scare you off playing a good show that night. You're like, oh, man, nobody's going to be here. They didn't sell me tickets. You know?
We've been playing for so long. We've driven broken down vans and trailers from San Diego to Miami in front of 20 kids, knowing that the next time we go there, there's going to be 40 kids.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So we weren't like an overnight thing. You know, mm-hmm. we did our stuff on our own, and so we appreciate every little success that we have. Some bands, you know, they get signed without ever playing a show live, not even having a full band, mm-hmm. and then they make it and they blow up and they're rocking huge stages. Nobody has a clue what's going on.
Yeah,
they
that's
all
pay,
they know. Don't pay dues.
But the funny thing is, those are the guys you see practicing the moves backstage.
Yeah,
like they're pop locking.
Yeah.
Oh wait, so you guys don't pop and lock on stage?
You don't dance a lot, I guess.
Yeah. That's only in the bus, please. Right. Yeah.
You don't fly across on angel wings and stuff like that.
That was the Biebs.
We won't count it out. Sonny's thinking about it.
All right, well, I know you guys are going to play Beautiful. That's the song we've been playing off the new album here on MMR. So let's check out this live version of it in studio, gang. This is P.O.D. on MMR. Here we go.
You stand with the gun in your hand and staring at the wall with a look so sad and thinking about who really cares. Will they even notice if I just disappear now? And one bang, blood rushed to the head. She'd rather fly through the sky than walk with the dead. So she stays high while the world goes by. And just another day here waiting to die. But life is beautiful. So share a little love with the whole wide world. Every boy and girl sing the song when we sing. Why, yo? And why, oh, and she cries, but a man denies. It's funny how love comes with so many lies. And he said he'd never do it again. So she puts on a smile and starts to pretend. And she hides all the pain inside by filling up her arms with pretty little lies. And she cuts with no intent to kill. This time she didn't do it, but someday she will. Life is beautiful, so share a little love with the whole wide world. Every boy and girl sing the song when we sing Y-O and Y-O. And hey, you're beautiful, and there's enough love for the whole wide world. Every boy and girl sing along when we sing Y-O and Y-O. And hey, I know that you can find a way. You're beautiful to me. No matter what the people say, it's all gonna be okay. You're beautiful to me. And too weak, too weary to try, too angry inside, well so am I. I'm all alone with nobody else. So in need of help, I keep reminding myself that life is beautiful. So share a little love with the whole wide world. Every boy and girl sing the song when we sing Y-O and Y-O. And hey, you're beautiful, and there's enough love for the whole wide world. Every boy and girl sing along when we sing Y-O and Y-O. I know that you can find a way. You're beautiful to me. No matter what the people say, it's all gonna be okay. You're beautiful to me. And it's all gonna end someday. It's all gonna fade away. You're beautiful. You're beautiful to me.
You're beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Sounded great.
I would say beautiful, but that would
be repetitive.
It sounded gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. That is a great song, guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely love
it's
it.
It's one of our heaviest songs.
Yeah, right.
You know what's crazy is a lot of you see a lot of just people that might not have seen you before, you would figure come to your show. And we're like, did you hear Beautiful on the radio? And like, yeah. I'm like, you know we're a lot heavier than that, right? Like, I'm ready. Sometimes you see their faces and it's like, oh.
Uh oh.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Well, you guys are a hard-working band, very, very busy, and we really appreciate you spending some time coming by here. I know you already played the show. You don't need to sell any tickets. You just wanted to come by and do this, so that's not lost on us. So
appreciate it.
Thank you. Continued love, and let's give it up for POD.
Yeah.
The album's called Murdered Love. Pick that up today, gang.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get it's for $39.99, and what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready collection to your cart. Don't wait, you want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen Makes It Easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
With the Oscar Pistorius story you had.
Hop along.
Kathy, yes. Hop along. He apparently, during the testimony for his murder trial, threw up in a bucket several times. And what I wanted to ask you guys is, have you, now, there are many reasons that one can throw up. There's you're sick, there's an unpleasant odor, something like that.
Trying to impress friends.
Have you ever thrown up simply by someone saying something to you or describing something to you? Because that
never
kind of appears what this is, right?
Yeah.
Never. I haven't.
He
not
was
that I can think of.
I think he's guilty.
Well, I know you think that. Yeah.
And I also think it was. I think
putting
it was
on a show.
Putting on a show.
But see, we were talking about this yesterday, and I think Casey said the same thing. You kind of thought it was like he's putting it all on. He kind of taught himself
how to throw up.
I don't. Whether he did it or not, I think this guy is clearly distraught. I mean, if he did do it, he's looking at, you know, life in prison for murder. If he didn't, he's still looking at that and thinking, I didn't do this. So I think it is true emotion that and the description of what they how they found her and the gunshot wounds and where they were and this dead body of somebody that he supposedly loved, I think made him throw up.
But yeah, besides that, obviously, that he's all torn up and that's the deal. Outside of that, I know your point. In other words, if you're hearing a conversation of something disgusting, can you be driven to puke?
To physically vomit from what you've heard described.
A smell has done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, but the actual seeing something viscerally disgusting.
Some people will puke seeing someone else puke. Now, I
know.
When I was a kid, that would happen to me. Like, if there was, you know, people always puking at school. And just one time or another, you know, some kid will get sick and throw up. I have started to gag simply seeing someone else show up. It doesn't affect me anymore.
I remember one time it was a chain reaction in school. It was that person. Like two or three other kids vomited because a kid vomited in the hall waiting to get into the cafeteria. Oh. It was just part of the deal.
Steve, speaking of smelling something, you and I were watching a video this morning. There's a guy at a grappling match.
It's hilarious.
These two guys are going at it. And the one guy is, he gets him, he's inside his guard. If you don't know what that means, this guy's legs are up around the guy's waist. And he's trying to swing his legs up around to get him in a triangle choke, which puts basically your crotch in somebody's face. Okay?
Yeah.
So you see the guy's crotch go up to this guy's face. And the guy who's on top kind of turns to the side. He leans over, and he just pukes all over the mat, apparently. Oh, and he turns to the ref because they stopped the fight. He turns to the ref, and he goes, "The guy just farted in my face."
Oh, no.
And it caused him to puke.
To puke.
All over the mat. It's hilarious. And so, obviously, that's a case where a smell has done it.
Is there, what about you? A description. If you see something.
No. Seeing something, from somebody vomiting, but.
I'll tell you where I can flirt with it, where I flirt with the gag starting.
Yeah.
Snot-related stuff.
Right.
Do you think you could throw up if you saw?
I think I could. You know what does it?
Do you want me to
me?
Pick my nose and eat it and we'll see what happens?
You got to do like a kid thing with this stringy snot. Actually, there have been times America's Funniest Home Videos where I'm like,
don't do it.
Don't do that.
You're looking at it, you're like, it's gonna be a snot video. I can't handle this. I do remember one time, and I'm so glad we're talking about this early in the morning. I apologize, but. There was a dead mouse. It was a pretty big one, actually.
Yeah.
And
it was a cat.
I don't know why this woman asked me. Her daughter was scared to walk by it. It was in an apartment complex. She asked if I would remove it for her. So I grabbed a napkin. I went over. I picked the thing up by the tail. When I pick it up, just this gigantic mound of maggots came falling.
Oh, my God.
And that made me puke. That made me vomit.
No.
And that was just from seeing something. It didn't smell.
I would have smacked her with it.
I saw it and I just, it was horrible.
How dare you make me do this?
I think if I saw something gross enough, I could definitely throw up. Just
by sight.
From sight, smell, anything like
that. But Pastores, it was just from them. Did he see pictures or were they describing
it? They were describing it.
Describing.
Yeah, okay. It was the forensic pathologist describing the scene.
She was shot through the door. So what? There were gunshot wounds. I mean, how?
Well, it's the idea of a loved one.
Yeah.
If you take it on, I know you don't believe, but it's beside the point. If a human reaction, someone you knew and loved was murdered, it might cause you to puke.
There's no mention of snot, was
there?
The
scene, and I know this is from a movie, but, and Kathy loved this movie, History of Violence.
When
he finally reveals that he had an alter
identity.
She immediately runs from the room and starts puking.
Really?
Because he had been lying to her for so long and it made her physically ill.
I think if something really traumatic happened to me, that I would, that would be triggered.
Let me go to, Brandon. We've caused him to puke. Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? What's up?
Hey, not much, buddy. What do you want to share with us?
Well, I was driving to work probably about maybe a month or two ago, and there was a Bizarro File story on, and I don't remember exactly what the story was, but it was something to do with, like, a woman having her bowel, like, surgically put into, like, where her vagina was.
Yes.
It was a bad surgery.
They crossed. She was vagina pooping.
Yeah.
And I, like...
Like the Patti Smith song.
I don't know what the hell happened, but I was driving to work, I was halfway to work, and I just started throwing up. I couldn't handle it.
Wow.
And so I called my boss and let him know, dude, I'm throwing up. I gotta, like, stay home today. So you guys got me out of a day of work.
Hey, that's what we do. Brandon,
it was awesome.
Had you ever thrown up simply from someone describing something before?
No, that was the first time. I don't know if I was actually, like, sick already or not, but, I mean, you guys did it.
Do you know what it takes?
Thanks,
I know,
man.
Kathy's hot spot is the, deep cuts down to the,
like the bone, it's muscle. All,
yeah, there are things that I can think of that, like, I have to stop immediately. Stop thinking about it. Stop.
Like, well, like this,
stop it.
The way the flesh is
stop.
Layered.
No, I'm actually yeah. saying stop
no,
it.
I mean, I got nauseous 2 weeks ago, Kathy, because we talked about it on the air when my son had to have stitches,
yes.
and I could see skull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't throw up, but I got pretty lightheaded, and looking through a wound and seeing like the white part of it, Kathy,
right.
like looking like, through the blood.
That it look because it looks like a spongy sort of gelatinous
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my skull.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Shane here. Hi, Shane. Good morning. Shane, Hello? You're on. Yeah,
hey.
You're on the air, bud.
Sorry about you guys at work.
It's okay, my friend.
What's your story, man?
All right. So when I was a freshman in college, and I was going out drinking. You know, it's Thursday night, mm-hmm. and this girl I've been with for a couple months told me to come over. She had something important to tell me. So I'm going over. I'm wondering, racing through my mind, what's going on. So I get to her. She goes on and tells me that she was pregnant. So I go. I say, no, you're joking. You're joking. Just walk away from her, start puking my brains out. Walked again, puked, did this 3 times in a row. Got so nauseous, you know, I got pale white. It was just a disaster.
So Shane.
And she ends up to be joking.
She was joking.
What?
That's so, but she must have been encouraged by your reaction. She yeah. At that point, she realized you were husband material.
What if that was a test?
I think so.
Honestly,
yeah, that could have been a test.
That was a test.
That's a cruel test,
it
but
is.
It's a yeah.
Very cruel. You kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So simply from hearing that you were going to be a daddy,
yeah,
yeah, I could
I
see that.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah. Thanks,
Preston.
Man.
Even when you were just making the foot juice. That, for me,
yeah.
was terrible.
Yeah.
What, did you see me scraping my feet?
No, it was the foot scrapings
oh,
were fine.
The,
but when you,
yeah,
when
was
you
that's
mixed
fine.
It with the liquid, yeah. that was
Or when she drank
when
it.
She drank
when
it,
she drank it, I thought I was going to
And there was residue, yeah, like tang, in the mm-hmm. bottom of a glass.
Yeah, that was pretty nasty.
But we've never done anything on the show, and we've had pubic pizzas and all that stuff that has made me...
What?
Sick.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it's all made me sick.
It was funny. Last night at dinner, my son was eating or trying to eat green beans.
Yeah.
And at one point, I look over, and he wasn't going to eat them. So my wife is feeding him, like, you have to eat this. So he puts it in his mouth. He starts chewing it, right? Yeah. And he starts going... Like
oh, he starts gagging.
He starts gagging.
Yeah.
He starts gagging.
Hey,
I thought it was so funny. And my wife, and so he ends up spitting it out. I thought he was going to vomit all over his plate. And then my wife's like, no. And she goes to give him some more. I go, hun, he obviously does not like green beans. You can't make him eat these.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like he's not trying to get out of it. Like he was gagging.
There's other vegetables.
That's what I used to do with milk. I would have to hold my nose and drink milk because my mom would make me drink it and I hated it so much. I would have to hold my nose and drink
it. Did you ever vomit from drinking milk?
I think I like gagged some of it back up. I don't think I like full out vomited, but yeah.
Let me go to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing, man?
Hey, how are you doing? You
Good.
Guys rock.
Thank you.
Hey,
what's up, man?
My best friend, I can say 2 words to him, and he would start to vomit.
Okay.
Squid juice.
Squid juice?
Yeah, but we would go deep sea fishing. They'd put those little bowls that had the bait with
squid. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That stuff would sit in the sun for a while and get real rancid, and just the thought of that. Like,
Joe.
You would see them drinking it, and he'd just say squid juice. And he'd start to vomit.
Do you have his number? Do you have his phone number?
Unfortunately, he moved to Georgia, so no, I don't have
Oh, okay. Because that would be worth a call.
Dude, you got to email his coworkers and let him know that
squid juice.
Is the magic phrase. That's
you know
hilarious.
What, though? If you've ever smelled festering chum.
We did. Because we had it at Keenan's that one time.
Oh, that's
and,
right, yeah.
And
yes.
it was so bad, I was like, we can't use this.
Yeah. It's supposed to. Yeah. And that says a lot when you had a dunk tank full of manure.
Yeah, that's nasty.
And we use that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fish smells can get me too.
Well, and then combine that with seasickness. No. Like if you're on a boat and the exhaust fumes start coming in and you combine that with chum.
Bad combination.
Nick, we got a guy who was like, right after Jaws came out, my friends and I, we chartered this boat and this guy's, he brought in the largest tiger shark off Montauk. And my friend's like, this is going to be great. The second we get out and that first chum thing goes into the water, my friend just runs. And then for hours, all you're hearing from me,
Steve, what I didn't realize about fishing trips like that either is that the boat pretty much stays in one place for a while, too. So it's rotating around, and you're in one spot. So all the fumes from the engine are kicking up, but they're not going anywhere.
You're floating in the chum slick.
Exactly.
That's what you do, yeah.
So you're breathing in fish guts and chum slicks and, you know, diesel exhausts. It's
but there's no
bad snot. Combo.
Yeah. So that's how it works for me.
Yeah, when I was like 12, we did deep sea fishing when we were in Ocean City, and I remember it vividly. These guys come on the boat.
Yeah.
They got their Dramamine patches behind their ears. You know, they got coolers, and they're like, and those were the first people to yak, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they didn't yak overboard. They yaked on the boat. And
you've
got
the entire goddamn ocean. How do you end up puking in the boat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. They ruined it. I mean, we were out in the ocean for hours.
Yeah, hey, you know what? I got a text from a guy who says, I'm a grown adult, and even when I see someone else eating broccoli, it makes me
Wow.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, I was curious if anybody actually, just from hearing something, just from a description.
Squid juice.
Squid juice.
Squid juice.
Can that make you, you know, lose it? Let me go to, I guess we've done this more often than we realize. I'm going to go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? Ryan, are you there? Oh, I got the wrong number. Randy, hang on a second. I'll come back to you. Let me go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, I catch you guys at a good time.
Yep. Yes, right.
Yeah, you did. We're not working.
He changed it up a bit. I like
What's up?
Yeah, I was on my way to work, and you guys had some detailed discussion about circumcision. And, you know, usually that kind of stuff doesn't faze me, I would think. But I had to pull over the car because I thought I was going to faint.
Faint?
Yeah, faint.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I have a history of fainting. I see it in church. I see it in bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, I know people like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you guys pretty much almost cost me my life.
Well, it's the least we could do.
Yeah. All right,
I bet you we've done that a fair amount, have had people puke.
Let me go back to Randy here, who I first went to a second. Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, bud, you got a story for us?
This is the one. Now, you better get your buckets, especially Steve, and I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, all right.
God's truth, the God's truth, I'm telling you right now, this actually happened. It was in the middle of winter. I was working in construction at the time, and we were in this cul-de-sac building homes, and the guys wanted to go home. And, you know, the vehicles are covered with road salt and stuff. Well, the foreman said, look, we're gonna stay, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to spit a hawker on the hood of this truck. And if it freezes before it gets to the end of the hood, we're going to go home.
Yeah.
If it doesn't freeze, we're staying. So now this guy was a big, heavy dude, about 400 pounds, big guy. And he starts hawking up the biggest, most disgusting chunk of snot you could imagine.
You're right in my wheelhouse here, man. Okay. Because, I mean, I can feel in my throat the little
Steve,
bit of,
get your bucket. I'm not, Steve, get your bucket. I'm not kidding you, buddy. Please. So he spits this thing onto the hood of the car up near the windshield wipers, and it starts rolling down the hood, picking up road salt.
Yeah, or leaving a trail.
And yellow. Yeah, like a snail trail.
So it's moving. Like it's almost alive.
Yeah, it's like the Blob.
Yeah.
And everybody was screaming and yelling and cheering for it. Like, you know, and this thing rolled about halfway down the hood and stopped. But it wasn't frozen. So he said, okay, we're staying.
Okay.
Well, then the guy's brother says to him, you're going to clean that up?
Oh, no.
And the guy leaned in.
Oh, no.
And.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yes.
I swear to God.
All right.
And then what happened?
Two guys puked and we stayed.
Randy, I would have put a nail gun in my mouth and just started firing.
I have to point out.
I have a hard time even telling that story. I'm getting sick now.
Yeah,
Casey just took his headphones off.
Honestly.
Well, Randy, I got one for you. I got one for you that's in a similar vein.
Thanks, Randy.
I told you about the old GM at a radio station.
I didn't know we were going to go here.
I forget. What did he do?
We're sitting. By the way,
we'll wrap it up.
Yeah,
with right. this. Folks.
This rube, this idiot. We're sitting around the lunch table, right? She goes, yeah, my kid's got a cold. I take care of it the old way.
That's right.
So this is apparently what he tried to claim was an old Jewish tradition. I never heard of this. He said, and I believe him, he would put his mouth over his kid's nose when they have a cold. and he would suck the snot out and spit it out.
Yep. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
And he did it in front of you?
No, not in front, but he was serious. Unbelievably disgusting.
You're just going to call child services at that point.
Oh, that's my just... God, you filthy bastard.
Wow. All right, well, I'm sorry. I didn't know we were going to get all graphic with this, but I was just curious if people had heard something that made them lose.
I would prefer to hear that a loved one was shot through a door than to find out that someone I know sucks snot out of someone's nose. Hey, Steve, your dad was shot. Oh, okay, just tell me there was no snot.
Yeah. So I got started on this with the Oscar Pastore story. He was throwing up in court after hearing the descriptions of... His
and by the way,
being shot.
He seemed to have like an airline puke bag with him.
They said, he had a bucket or something like that that he was throwing up in. So, they got something for him.
Enjoy your breakfast.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at presidentsteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
I've got some a story coming up. I'm using news with Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, drummer. He recently got word that one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers songs or music was used at Guantanamo Bay to torture prisoners.
CIA, oh, really? Yeah.
And
I'd be flattered.
Do you know what?
Well,
song?
They're not happy about it at all. I mean, he said he's disgusted by it, which I can understand. I mean, it's
sure.
You create music to make people happy.
And it's being used as torture.
It's something you're really proud of. The last thing you want to hear is that it's being used to torture somebody.
Just on a regular aesthetic level, it's like, wow, it has the potential to torture people.
Yeah, but it got us to thinking what. Would be your personal torture song.
Oh, I know.
What?
Moves Like Jagger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Steve hates that song.
God, I hate that. That part. Don't even play the whole song. Just
loop that over and over and over. Yeah. The actual part when he's singing.
That part, too.
Anything that just the moment you hear it, destroys
Kokomo.
You. Oh, Kokomo! Yes. Nick would be Kokomo. Uh-huh. That's right. You mean at one point that it wouldn't turn into a wistful?
No. At one point, I would have to put the gun in my mouth and pull the trigger.
I think you play this once, and Nick is renouncing Muhammad in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Support anything about this.
I hate it. You know, I hate it too because it's not even a Beach Boys song.
No,
John Phillips wrote it.
And you
really?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
I didn't know that.
You compare it to what Brian Wilson once was, and then you look at him then. Like, sellout when you use Stamos in the video.
He can't be held accountable for it. He was on some sort of Ambien or something.
Yeah. That in the beginning of Immigrant Song. If you play that on a loop, I think that would kill me.
Immigrant Song? Really?
Yeah. And I like Zeppelin, but like especially the repeated version of it. Yeah.
Come on, Steve. I love it.
In the land of the ice and the snow, where the snow and there's ice in this land over there. I don't know what it's about, but I like this freaking song.
It's about the Vikings, man.
It's about the Vikings, man.
Hammer of the gods.
Man. You're a man. Let's go to where the Vikings go with the land and the snow and the snow and the land. That guy has horns on his hat. He's a Viking. Oh my God, it cuts down to my spine.
Immediately when I mentioned this, several texts came up that said it's a small world after all.
You know, it was the 50th, right?
Yes, of that ride.
Of that ride. 50th anniversary of It's a Small World After All at Disneyland.
Didn't we just get a call? Somebody said they got stuck on there and they had to listen to it?
That was not that long ago when we were talking about Disney. Okay.
When Casey got paid for that commercial.
That's right.
Was it the 50th anniversary? Or was it...
I want to say you're correct about that, Steve. Yeah.
Do you want my song?
Yes. Hold on, Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going
to
go
Let me go to Bill. I already pulled him up online. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
Hey, so what song would be your personal torture?
Well, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, no, there's...
something there to remind me.
The Naked Eyes song?
Yeah.
Originally written by Burt Bacharach?
Yes.
I love that song.
I like it, too. Yeah. I haven't gotten tired of it.
See, for me, it's a haunt song, because every time I hear that song, and I'm in a relationship with a woman, it goes south.
So you have a bad mental connection to it, but just the virtue... By virtue of the song itself, it doesn't torture you. Your memory that's caused by the song tortures you.
Right, because I had to remember everything I did with that person.
Okay, that's sort of a nuance, but it's...
Then they go south.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right, then I have one. That because the same connection.
You don't have one that's just pure hatred.
Kathy, it's just like a ride is that.
Oh, really?
Because the girl I was... No, I like it too, okay. But at the
but
time...
But the connection.
It was a brand new song. She loved this song, and things went south with her and I, and I remember I was working at a restaurant at the time.
I finished your essay!
We used to keep a radio back there, and I told them ahead of time. I said, listen, I know we're going to work today.
Oh, wow.
If that song comes on the radio, I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to smash it on the floor.
It was that bad.
And I was going to do it. I resigned. I said, I will buy you a new radio. But if this comes on, I just want to tell you, I'm going to do it. And it didn't come on. It wasn't in rotation that day. Thank God.
Besides that, which I think is a bad, yes, I can see that. A bad, volatile breakup that's associated with a song. Just a song by its very nature.
Trying to come up
that,
with
that's
one.
Just, okay.
What do you have, Kath?
Well, I have both. I have one by nature that I used to like and I can't listen to anymore. But any heavy metal song ever written ever. and other than that, Hey Ya.
Oh, Outcast. Really?
I can't.
Hey,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember we used to play it at Y100 and I hated it.
It's got it.
From the first day we ever played it.
Oh, wow.
I like this song.
I still like it.
Normally I would like a song like this, but
the only part I don't
reason,
like about this is where he goes, All right, now, ladies. Yeah. What's cooler than being cool?
I said,
what's cooler than being cool?
Ice cold.
I like that.
I love
it.
I do too.
I know.
That's the only part I don't like.
It makes me the ultimate hypocrite that I can't stand moves like Jagger and likes that. But I'm sorry.
I'm surprised that you don't like that, Kathy, because it is catchy
it's something that I would normally like.
Yeah.
It's basically your story, too.
The one by association, though, is something that Marissa and I had to do events for a little while. And this song was played every single time we went there, and I just associate it with the event, and I can't listen to it anymore. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I can't. I got to find it. Marissa, this one.
It's called Lean Back. Lean Back. Lean Back.
Yeah, it's
Lean Back. That's all I know.
And you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
There was a guy that used to dance to that, and he had the worst dance on stage to that song. It was awful. I'll find it for you.
The dance is, we joked about it on air. It's if you're brain dead, that's the song, that's the dance you can do.
Wait,
you lean back.
It's not the...
Equilibrium. Equilibrium.
It's not everybody clap your hands. Not that one.
No.
Cha cha three times.
Oh my God.
I used to
hate that.
Put that on my list.
That one does kind of bother me. A number of people actually, and this is approaching because it's just getting burned to the extent, I still like it.
I still like it, too.
It is so inundated. And then Good Morning America uses it. And I'm... When I see, you know, journalists, the people that were getting the news, could you see Walter Cronkite, or because we're happy. Dancing all day and night.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to war in Vietnam. to me, that's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But this song is a great, but man, it's on commercials, promos, they're just beating the hell out of it.
But I bet in a year or two when it's gone away for a while and you look back on it, you won't hate it. You know,
She still hates Outkast.
Yeah, I think looking back on Happy, you'll like it.
Let me go to Sherry. Hey, Sherry, how you doing?
Good, how are you guys?
Good, what's happening?
My song is Celebration by Kool & the Gang.
But Sherry, the bride's going to throw the bouquet in a couple of minutes.
I've just crashed my car. Thanks very much.
Sherry, I think I have a variation that might work for you.
You got it, Preston?
Yeah.
Just so I can hear.
Celebrate good Obama. Come out!
No.
It's Obama.
See, and I love the song because it has a personal Like memory for me, we, you know, Ocean City Boardwalk, they had one of those singing booths where you could record yourself.
Yeah.
And my sister sang the song, and it was terrible. And we would listen to it over and over again and just laugh at it.
This was the theme of the St. Louis Cardinals 1982, and they won the series that year.
Did they take that from the Phillies? Because the Phillies did it in 1980.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. That's a great song.
How many times have we won the World Series?
More than us, probably.
Well, we did it first.
Many more times.
1980.
First.
All right, anyway, let me go to, I'm going to go to Lauren. Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Corona, Corona, Corona.
Oh, my God, I haven't heard that in ages.
Oh, it's about you.
Yeah. What's up, Lauren?
Well, I got a couple. First of all, I have a three-year-old, so basically any kid's song is like nails on chalkboard. But my real one is Black Hole Sun, I have to admit.
Black Hole Sun.
Yes.
I'm actually not that big of a fan of that song myself.
I'm just, it's a song I'm over, but it's not a song I would consider torture.
It doesn't torture me, but I don't put it on. I mean, if it's on, I'll listen to it, but I agree. It's at that status, Preston.
I hated that video.
So drawn out. And then when I was a teenager, I worked at a cosmetic shop, and all they would play, for some reason, every other song was Leanne Rimes' How Do I Live Without You.
How I live without you.
That just makes me gag by association.
Oh, you know what? Okay.
Michael Bolton's version.
Now Lauren made me think of one, Steve, which is, I forgot the artist's name, but... all by myself.
Don't want to be all by myself.
This is depressing.
And when I was young, I never needed anyone, and making love was just for fun. Those days are gone.
Holy Christ.
Here's one, Steve.
Do you want to know why you're by yourself?
Here's one that should
be a turd.
On your list, Steve, that somebody tweeted over about, which is Wanted Dead or Alive from Bon Jovi.
I listen. I hate it. And there's so much that they generated that I enjoy.
Thing.
Yeah, I'm riding on a silver. I'm running. You're not. You're in a limo.
Wait, what is this? That's a weird.
What the hell
version.
Is that?
This is the cool version.
Shut up.
Okay, so okay, there's a better here version.
That's the one.
Yeah. Still being out on the road. My limo's late. Got nowhere to go. Caviar, yeah, I just spilled it on my boots.
And Bob Dylan told Richie Sambora one time, he's like, I kind of like that cowboy song.
Oh, he's really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Richie told that story to Pierre, so it was doing Richie doing Bob Dylan. But
kind of like that cowboy song.
I like that cowboy song.
I like this song.
And what's your name, old lady?
Bob Dylan.
Steve, would any George Thorogood fall in your torture?
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
Listen, I appreciate if you love George Thorogood. But the boo stuff.
Give me your impression of George Thorogood, because I love it.
What is that?
I love to drink booze, drink a beer, drink a booze.
Scotch, whiskey, booze, vodka booze. Do you like to drink booze? I like booze. Do you drink booze? Yeah! You're an alcoholic! I drink alone when I'm by myself. I drink alone. I drink a lot. I drink booze. I drink beer. I drink scotch. I do meth. I do coke.
Want one bourbon, one scotch?
Bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Call the paramedics. My heart stopped. Haven't seen my kids, but I'm drinking away. Government check just came my way.
That song is about a guy who says, I'm not going to pay my rent. I'm not going to find a job. I'm going to go down to the bar and get wasted and see what happens.
Yeah.
Become a ward of the state. Go out of my mind. Eat my poop.
And then people use that as their anthem. But meanwhile, you know, George is doing fine. He was paying his rent.
We actually, right? Here's the funny thing.
He's doing all right.
Here's the, Preston, the ultimate irony. As much as, and I, listen, I think he's, can rock away.
Yeah.
The lyrics are what I always joke about.
I know.
We're out at this convention, this radio convention, All Access in Hollywood. We're there, and they're putting on a show, a celebration of radio and rock music. Who is the guest speaker?
It's George
Thorogood.
Steve was just like, oh,
what?
Great.
I had this song banned at my wedding. Was not allowed to be played.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. You just hate
it? in the video, like when I find out it's like two 60-year-old guys.
And she's it's about a like a gonorrhea-ridden whore, right?
It is.
Right?
I don't know.
Right?
We're talking about
wishful thinking.
Torturous songs. A song that would be used to literally, if they sat there and cranked it at a loud volume over and over and over nonstop, it would get in your head and just destroy you. Wait, actually, Case, I want to go to, hang on, let me go to Joe here real quick. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, rock you guys do.
Rock you guys. Thank you, Yoda.
Yoda.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's
up? Hey, guys, I want to drive with Paul. Luckily, I don't listen to the station that plays it that often. When I'm with my wife, she does. The Black Eyed Peas, I've Got a Feeling.
I've got a feeling.
That tonight's going to be a good night.
I can write better lyrics than that.
Tonight's the night. We're going out.
Mazel tov. Shalom. I'm a moil. I'll cut your foreskin.
Horrible.
Oh, you know what? I hate the lyrics in that one Pink song. Don't get fancy, just get dancy. Like, come on, man.
Casey.
I hate that.
Now, if you're too school for cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What song is that?
I don't even want to know the name of it.
What is that song? I know that name.
There are certain lyric combinations the
Kid Rock
thing that Nick so rightfully
smoking
addresses.
Funny things and drinking funny things,
right?
Yeah, you can't find other things to rhyme
with
things.
Funny things.
Raise your glass is the name of that.
Raise
song.
Your glass.
Raise
yeah.
your glass.
Let me go to Matt. Hey Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What do you want to jump in here with?
The song that annoys the hell out of me the most probably be Robin Thicke, Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines is annoying.
I still like it.
I like that song.
Yeah, I still like it.
I liked it for a minute when I first heard it, and then they overplayed the crap out of it, and it was popping up on commercials and all that stuff.
I wonder
Thanks.
What song has the highest percentage of people that actually like it. Because, you know, obviously there's not a song out there that 100% of the people can agree
sure.
on.
What is the most favorable song in the world?
Right.
That'd be a tough question.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't
it's
know.
Probably a Nickelback song.
Wouldn't that just beat all?
I can't stand that those posing sort of, you know.
There you go.
Photograph. I took it with my camera here.
Now, have you stopped and listened to the full song, though?
It tears my heart
apart. It's a guy reminiscing going through his photo album.
Right, yeah. The only bad thing is that he's not dying.
Let me go to Jeff, who hates that song. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, so we're playing your song, man.
I swear I almost did a jihad on my phone.
You were going to go jihad on your phone over this.
Oh, my God, yes.
I just think it's I know it's so. Listen, and I've come around on Chad Kroeger. I really like him now, and he was a cool interview, and he gets the Nickelback stuff, and they sort of made fun with it, so it's fine. And if you're a Nickelback fan, that's great. There's some stuff that's okay. This one song in particular to me seems so forced and so calculated. It's annoying. Do you agree?
I hear you. I like Nickelback some of their song with Battleship.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I saw them do it live. You know, I went to a Nickelback show, sort of against my will, but they won me over. Like, you know, it's real cheesy, terrible rock, but it was a fun show. They are nice guys. They're really funny. Yeah, so whatever. I don't.
Warren Harris likes them, so I'm okay with it.
Let's go to Sean. Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Hey guys, the guy Marlon that plays for Phillies—I forget his last name. Do you guys know?
Oh no.
Oh, it's Bird.
Everybody's heard about the Bird.
That song.
Yeah.
There's one.
There's a lot of them for you, but Dan Aykroyd ruined this song for me because in the movie Toneheads, that's all they sang, and all I hear him go is, is paint that song, Tainted Love.
Tainted Love.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away, I've
got to get away.
I know that's why I like the song.
Yeah. Here you go. I agree with this one. I'm going to go to Fred. Hey, Fred. Fred, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time also makes me want to bang my head on it.
I can't.
Paul McCartney. It's a pretty bad song.
It's awful.
A physical still cringe.
I used to severely hate that song, and a switch kicked in maybe like 2 years ago, and I'm okay with it now.
No. That's exactly it. It literally, there are certain songs out there that simply haunt you, and that is one, and that song needs to die and be removed from the Christmas repertoire of music of every single person in the world.
It's a lot of it has to do with those stupid sounds. No, I hear you. That was when the Moog synthesizer was becoming popular.
Because it's Paul McCartney. And, you know, the song that gets played by Lennon for War is Over.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's such an inspiring holiday song, though it's not technically a holiday. It just gets played a lot around the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, they mention Christmas in this song. It's
the first line. So this is Christmas.
This is Christmas. Yeah. Yes. Do we have to wrap
it
up?
So this is Christmas.
I do, yeah.
I left out the wah-wah because it sounded too pussy.
All right, well, anyhow, Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is not happy about the fact that they were using his music as torture.
Though he says he's a huge fan of torture itself.
Yeah, just not using his music.
Hey, podcasters, it's Kathy Romano, and I'm here to tell you that it is finally your chance to win a spot to come to Kathy's Bitch Box Party. That's right, our next Preston and Steve sorority party, which will be held on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia, will be featuring the release of Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2. It's a 21 and older event. Winners and guests will each receive Kathy's Bitch Box, which is filled with some of my favorite products. Your first drink is free, plus a happy hour buffet. So I have personally handpicked these items that will go inside of the box, and I'd like to thank all of the contributors: Hey Honey, LC Boutique in Warrington, Original Drinking Buddies, True Beauty Concepts, Braided Charm, Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry, Bondi Band, Sets Beauty, Wind and Wave Soap, Wine Knots, Priori Skincare, Crest Toothpaste, and Jade Yoga. Thank you everyone who contributed to make this amazing Bitch Box. So here's what you have to do for your chance to win tickets to the event. Email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. Again, that's name, age, phone number to podcast@WMMR.com for your chance to win. Thanks for podcasting. Good luck, and I hope to see you on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia for the Preston and Steve Sorority Party, Kathy's Bitch Box event.
Two guys are going to be inducted into the Flyers Hall of Fame, and we have one of them here with us this morning. It's Eric Lindros. Hey.
How do?
Good. Excellent. Thank you.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Good to see you again. So when did they tell you this was going to happen? Did you know?
We got a phone call from Paul Holmgren in September, and we started talking about things, and we figured, you know what, Johnny and I, we should do it together.
Yeah. That's terrific.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it really is. Rennie's coming in, too.
I was going to ask, what's his participation in this?
He was in Newark last I heard. But, we're going to have some ex-teammates around and just get out and see some people.
When's the last time the Legion of Doom were all in the same room at the same time?
We got to see each other at the alumni golf tournament.
Right.
A year and a half ago.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or less than a year and a half.
I didn't play that.
Yeah, that was the one where I won the closest to the pin competition.
Really?
Yeah. I beat Eric Lindros.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you couldn't believe that Eric Lindros was at the same golf outing. Yeah.
It was actually the first time I had seen him after that fateful interview.
Oh my God!
Well, do we get it out of the way now?
Oh wow!
Let's just get it out.
Get
of the
it
way.
Out, Steve. You got it.
All right.
I never thought Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
it still cracks me up.
Apologize to Eric because we're kind of around the same age, so I don't know what it was, but I sort of fell in love with you a little bit in a totally gay way.
That was edited, by the way. He said a totally not gay way, but anyway. All right, so it was a couple of years ago that you guys were all together. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the three of you had a special bond. Obviously, you played on the same line together, and you were very successful as that. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it's, you know, a lot of professional athletes.
Equally successful. I mean, it took all three to get the stuff done, to get anything accomplished. It wasn't just one guy or two guys. It was all three.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, as far as staying in touch goes, though, I mean, a lot of people in that are professional athletes, they also have that, that buddy on the team or that partner on the team that they played so well together with. And that's a bond that doesn't come along very often.
No, it's infrequent, and it's certainly cherished and treasured. That's for sure. Yeah.
Renner was not... I'm sorry, go ahead, Russell.
I was just going to say, Matt Cord is here, too.
Yeah. So. Hey!
If you ever want to jump in with something, go right ahead. Nick, sorry.
Hey!
Hey, Eric.
Well, you guys have known each other since you were playing here, Eric. It's cool. And Matt
was kind enough to pick Brett. Brett Hardy is down here over the corner. He's supposed to be in school, but we're not going to tell anybody.
A 9-year-old guest.
Yeah.
You were kind of upset because Renberg was not able to play in the Winter Classic alumni game a few years ago, and so now he's going to be there tonight. So it's a nice reunion for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, no, the outdoor game was a lot of fun too. That was terrific. That was a big weekend.
Do you think that Bernie stopped that shot because Ron Duguay shot it at his pads?
You know what? We were talking about that the other day, and what a nice gesture by Ron to do that. And you know, Bernie probably will say that he would have stopped anything. And he might have. Never know with Bernie. He's got super powers. But that was a really nice gesture by Ron at the start of that game.
I was there. It was cool to hear the fan reaction for Bernie when he came out. I mean, people love that guy, and they have since he was the starting goalie for the team.
A stud.
I can't
think of studs. Bernie Perron is.
And he just never stops.
I know you're humble about all of it, but I was really happy to hear the reaction that you got as well, too. And things obviously didn't end the way that we wanted them to end in Philadelphia. Yeah. But when you came back for the Alumni Classic, the reaction that you got against a team that you had also played for was nice.
Yes. And you know what? I think time dilutes a lot of pain. And life's too short. Just let's move on. It was always good. The fan support that we had around here was terrific. You get, you know, all the way through the course of the year, and then, you know, it just seems to climax at playoff time, and it's just, it's nuts. They're passionate. They know about the game. It's not like they're, you know, they're chatting from left field. They know what's going on. They're well educated and well versed in hockey, and it's a terrific place to play. It really is.
Leading up to that moment when you were going to come out for the Winter Classic, was there in your mind where you're thinking, I wonder what they're going to, how people are going to react? I mean, or
no,
did you even
not
care?
Really. I just get out and you know.
Did you ever think that the city didn't support you? I was thinking of this last night when I was driving to meet you guys for dinner. And, you know, the one thing I really truly believe about this city and the way they feel about the athletes that play, you know, in whatever sport is that we always want you to succeed. And so was there ever a point in your career that you ever thought that the city as a whole didn't? Because we did. I'm telling you, as a fan, we always rooted and cheered and supported for you, even if it didn't sound like that.
Yeah. No one likes to lose the last playoff game of that particular round at any one time.
Right. Sure, yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? So that bitterness, that bad, if you didn't have if you didn't win, really, it was all or nothing around here because we did have good teams. If we slipped up in the second round, there's a great deal of disappointment. It starts from guys being disappointed on the club. And obviously, everywhere you go around town, it's not
But
the,
do you feel like that? Like, because, I mean... I would imagine just because it's on such a large scale that's what you feel like. If you're walking into any room, that's the first thought people are going to think of.
I don't think
that's the way. I really don't think
that's... I assume that you have to develop a protective blister after a while. And you know the nature of the beast.
If you want to go and play, and this is... I would just... I didn't play in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But I would assume that it's a little bit quieter.
Sure.
Different cities for different.
Yeah.
You play with the Rangers. I mean, what's the difference?
They've got, you know, Al Pacino's walking down.
Right. I remember the one time Eric's walking his dog. He had this big Great Dane named Bacchus. Yeah. When you're in Central Park and we're walking in, hey, there's Bacchus. Their jogger goes by, hey, Bacchus. Another guy, hey, Bacchus. Eric looks at me. He goes, this is great. Everyone knows my dog and no one knows me.
It's pretty quiet around there.
Yeah.
There, also in the Daily News today is an article about Ryan Howard, and he's been having some issues with his family over money, and he involved a lot of his family members in his work. Okay, he hired them to help out with this and that, and pay them a certain amount of money.
Yep.
He decided at some point to not do that any longer, and now It's gotten really, really ugly.
That's too bad.
And yeah, and that can happen to people who are thrown into this this profession, who are talented to be there and are at the top of the game, mm-hmm. and at a young age like you were, you know, in your young 20s or even before that.
Teens.
And yeah, and starting to see this. Is it difficult? I mean, because I know the NFL has a like a rookie program, and they'll run you through and say, and I think the NBA does as well.
Yeah. I think all of them do.
Do they? Well, baseball doesn't.
But it they don't.
Yeah, and that's really? Why that's what they're pointing out, that they probably
Players Association is writing this down right now.
Right.
Well, the thing about baseball is their players sort of trickle into the league.
It's a different upbringing because they've played minor ball, they played single A, double A, triple A, probably they worked their way up, and that's all pro too, right?
Like
that's. When you're talking about an 18-year-old coming from whatever the junior team is in whatever part of Canada or anywhere around it, you're 18. You're not 21 or 22.
Yeah.
Or even coming out of college when you're 22 to go play in the NFL, that's a huge age gap. I mean, think about everything that happened to you between the ages of 18 and 22. Yeah. Not you.
No. I've forgotten most of it.
But, I mean, you know, did somebody tell you that be careful with your money on the way up?
My dad, he was a partner at KPMG. He's a CPA.
Mm-hmm. Right. That helps.
Business. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and if your dad hasn't got your best interest, who does?
Yeah.
So I was blessed with that.
Yeah. I remember that through all of this. I mean, listen, you need... It's part of the deal, the nature of anything like this, having an agent and having people who know what they're doing help you, because I think it's the guys that try to handle it themselves that let it get away from them. You know, you know, a lot of times it can be just too much, you know?
It's nice to have some help, and it's hard to find, you know, trust is
coveted. A big issue.
It's a big issue, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm sure that, I don't know his particular situation, but I'm sure he's got an agent for doing his deals.
Right.
And this was just probably maybe a side venture that he had going on. I mean, I'm just...
Well, have his family members fired?
Well, that's kind of what was going on. His mom was, ran certain parts of his business and so forth.
It's going to be a testy Thanksgiving.
It's over. I mean, like, the relationship is over.
It's over. It's
ugly. His brother was involved, too. And,
Bottom line is, it's just too bad.
It's sad
to hear.
I want to ask you about concussions and your perspective on it. I think that the NFL and the NHL in particular have adjusted their rules and the way that they treat players because of guys like you and Pat LaFontaine and Keith Primeau and Junior Seau, and they've sort of learned the lesson of what a concussion can do to a marquee player, to a star player, and protecting those players now has become important to the leagues and to the teams. Did you feel like you weren't protected the way that you should have been? Did you feel pressure to play?
Listen, it was a different era too, right? You know, Crosby went through it just recently, and everything's back, back to normal, and great for hockey that he's feeling good again. The '90s were it wasn't looked on in the same fashion that it is today. I think they occurred through the history of time. I think they were talked about in a certain way all the way through, but they did not get the it didn't get the spotlight that it did until some of the larger names were affected with the situation.
Right.
What you went through, what your brother went through was awful, you know, and as a fan, I felt bad for you, but I do think that the positive of that is...
Yeah, there is a positive that there was a little bit of light shown on it, and there have been some strides taken, some measures taken to, let's be a little bit more careful than maybe we have been in the past. Let's take maybe an extra couple days here. It's not like we're going to hop on Kijiji and go find ourselves a new brain.
Right. Yeah.
Let's be careful. And it's gotten better. There's still a long way to go. There's still a lot of research to be done. It'd be great if the medical community was more collaborative than competitive. That would be terrific. I think it might be safe to say that there's a number of testing or research being done that's being duplicated. So why don't we share the results, whether they're good or bad or indifferent, so that they're not being done again, or maybe these results can lead, to further ideas and further positive, results, that we're all, you know, in essence looking for.
Yeah. Accelerated.
How many concussions did you end up having?
You can
that you knew, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I had my fair share for sure.
Okay, and is it something that you have to get checked out?
No, I feel good. I feel strong.
I wasn't sure if that was you keep an eye on that.
No, I skate a couple times a week. I've been playing tennis, and really? I feel good, yeah. I had to do something because I just got tired of the gym.
Yeah.
It's boring, right?
They're heavy.
Yeah.
They don't talk back. There's nothing good about it right now. So I had to switch it up, and I thought that tennis would be something fun to get into.
Tennis is a great sport, man.
It's a great sport.
Are you any good?
But listen,
I'm all right. I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not. I would be like a medium, like a B player. I'm not.
That's pretty good.
Did you ever make a ball explode by hitting it so hard?
I bet you when you're on the court, you're confused for Serena Williams.
Well, Steve, depending on what I'm wearing that day.
You said you skate a couple times a week. You play hockey?
Yeah, yeah. No, we got a nice group on Tuesday nights, and we also skate Thursday mornings. We do. We actually do some drills. And
well, how competitive do you get with it?
Well, no one likes to.
Lose.
No, Jesus, can you imagine?
It's a non-checking
You're playing
league.
In some men's league.
It's
and
not
Eric
a league,
Lindros
though.
Is...
It's not a league.
What
it's
is
just
it?
It's like 30 games? Guys that we, you know, depending on the jersey that you're asked to put on for that particular day, you're either on the dark side or you're on the light side.
Do you guys throw your sticks in the
it's
middle?
Kind of the same thing, right?
No way.
Yeah, same
That's
kind
awesome.
Of thing. It's old wow. school. It's great.
Does Sully play in that league?
Sully does.
Yeah,
Sully skates.
Was he at dinner last night?
He was. Yeah, Sully's a good guy to have a drink with.
Any other NHLers that play in this league?
Yeah, Darcy Tucker's out all the time. Scott McClellan's been out. Shane Corson is popped by. He's not a frequent flyer. Nick Kipros. Kipros been out a bunch.
I was talking to your friend Jeff last night.
Yeah.
And he was just going through all of the famous hockey players that grew up in and around your area.
Yeah.
And it was just astounding that many people grew up in such a small area, you know, 100,000 citizens
out in,
or whatever.
In Whitby. Yeah, no, there's a strong presence.
Yeah. I mean, is it the
the climate, the
well,
genetics.
Is it the water? Yeah. Is it just the coaching and the
I think it's time availability.
Okay.
Time availability.
And coaching, right? Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves. If you don't have good coaches, I don't care how much time you're on the ice or you're at the football field or the batting cage, if you're not getting coaching.
You got to have direction.
You got to have direction. Yeah. And hats off to everyone that that volunteers their time and goes and makes a difference
sure.
in kids' lives. That's a big statement.
You have a five-month-old son.
I do.
Congratulations.
Look at my eyes.
Yeah, I know. and down the road, if he wants to play hockey, you know, or would you, step up and maybe be a coach of a kids team and stuff? Or?
Well, we'll cross it when it comes. Whatever he wants to do, I think he'd be open to it.
Yeah.
And not just one thing. You hear about, you know, kids playing hockey 24 or 12 months a year. And, you know, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's something different.
I was talking to Brian Boucher, who was here not that long ago, and he coaches his son's team.
That's good.
And he said, but there are some people that do these, a lot of people that put their kids in and they have stars in their eyes. And that's cool and everything. But the kids' time is taken up so much and they get on these travel teams and all this stuff. Yeah.
And it's early in the morning too, by the way.
It's like, a bit much. And the percentage of people who play the game and end up playing professionally is so minuscule.
That's it. Do the math.
Yeah.
You know, let's be a well-rounded person.
Yeah.
You got to be a hands-off dad like Tiger Woods' father.
Wow. Golf if you want. If you want golf, play it.
Erica, can you share the story that you told me last night about Dave Brown and the kangaroo court? Is that something that's a...
Well, you're asking about, discipline and, there's fines within the team and what happened. And Brownie used to be the judge of kangaroo court. So if a player did something that was a bit offside, he had to go to court in our dressing room. Brownie would put the mop on his over top of his head and he'd run court. And The defendant was allowed to pick a couple of guys to act as his attorneys and his representation, and he went in to plead his case. And they were some funny, some funny times.
And what was his gavel?
Yeah, he had a small stick that he just would give it a good whack, and that was his. We're in session, and that
all right,
would
so
be it.
What were
it
some
was
of the
unbelievable?
What were some of the offenses?
Well, we can't get to that.
Okay.
We're going to talk about we might have you throw the money at the team fund and
that's
okay
funny.
Yeah guys
so the sentences were usually monetary in nature, right? You're penalized by
yeah, there's a few other things earlier on with, in terms of carrying bags, things like that.
Okay.
But mostly it was monetarily based so that you could have another fun time and go back to court.
It all goes, this is the way court should work. Yeah.
I want to go to this phone call. We normally don't pop on phone calls for guests that are here in the studio, but it seems really nice. Jill and Eric has helped out with charities over the years, and I'm going to go to Jill here real quick once I make a comment. Hi, Jill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jill?
Nothing. I love your show. I just wanted to say hi. And I wanted to say hello to Eric. You probably don't remember me, but you came to see my son many, many years ago at St. Christopher's for his Make-A-Wish.
Oh, okay.
And he was just absolutely thrilled. You know, he's a big Flyers fan. He was only 6 at the time, and unfortunately he did pass away shortly after you did come to visit him. But I just wanted to say thank you, because at the time I was emotional, and I just wanted to let you know how much I really, really appreciate it, you taking the time.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
You gave him a stick, and you know, and he was just so thrilled with it. And I just wanted to let you know that it was very, very much appreciated.
All right. Well, thank you, Jill. I mean, that's got to be one of the most satisfying things is, you know, people who are really huge fans, and you get a chance to give them a moment, you know, like that. It's got to be satisfying.
It's special. And, you know, you're driving there, you're driving home, you're thinking, you're reflecting about it. It's deep.
My mother, who passed away years ago, but she would always say, there, but for the grace of God. And it's always, you always count your blessings, you know, and especially now you're having your own family.
You do. You look at it a little different.
Puts it in perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just tuning in, it's Eric Lindros. He's being inducted into the Flyers Hall of Fame. John LeClair as well. Mike Renberg is going to be in attendance. So John is getting inducted in.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey wanted to play a game. With Eric.
I was trying to mention this last night, and I still
don't get it.
But you said you were up for it.
I said I'm up for anything, but
he was asking me on the way over. Like, Eric's like, what's this game we're playing?
All right, so here's what we're going to do, and I'll explain.
Did you sign it Casey Boy or Casey something else? That was the other confusing thing that we had going on last night.
Yeah, Casey Boy is the nickname
And every now and again when I sign something, like a check or something like that, I'll sign a Casey Boy by accident.
He's telling me how often he practices his signature.
Wow.
No, I asked him about
your signature.
He had to practice his signature because he signed a lot of autographs.
And it came, my aunt said, why don't you try it this way? And I just started doing it from there. No, you actually practice.
Yeah. In high school, it was better than paying attention.
Oh, okay.
All right, so here's what
here
we're
we go
need.
Between the ages of 18 and 22. Right? We're back to that.
The name of the contest is, and by the way, Steve, you'll need to have Casey's clip ready to go. Yeah. It's called I Can't Believe Eric Lindros is Playing the I Can't Believe This Celebrity is Calling My Phone Game.
I never thought Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
So, all right, Casey boy.
Yeah.
Done. Win.
So here's how it works, Eric. We are going to describe a movie star.
Okay.
Because Casey said you're a big movie fan.
Celebrity.
A celebrity.
Yeah.
A celebrity.
A well-known celebrity.
Oh, it's just celebrities. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was movie people. All right, anyhow, we're going to describe.
What kind of movies?
A short description.
Quite a morning around here, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, Casey, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Casey last night was like, hey, we're going to have a movie star in studio tomorrow. She's Asian.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It's from the Gangbang Series 6. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to describe. We're going to describe a celebrity, and then I'm going to play a clip of the celebrity. We've had these people on the phone with us here.
Okay.
And you're going to hear a short clip of them, and you have to identify that celebrity. Now, how does he have to say it, Casey?
You have to answer.
In the form of a question?
Kind of.
Kind of like Jeopardy. Your answer has to be, I can't believe blank is calling my phone.
Okay. Now, by the way, if you don't know the celebrity, you don't have it, you can just
pass.
No.
Make somebody up.
Okay. Pick somebody, and because the player on the phone has to decide whether.
Oh, we need to have an answer.
So you don't have to have the right answer.
So they have to agree to.
You got it. Like Hollywood Squares.
Got it.
Exactly. All right. So
like Hollywood Squares.
Canadian Hollywood Squares.
Clearly a morning show guy when he's got the afternoon to watch Hollywood Squares.
Vancouver Squares.
Okay. Right.
This is I Can't Believe Eric Lindros is playing the I Can't Believe This Celebrity is Calling My Phone Game. All right. So here we go. Your first clue. And are these in order ready to go?
Yes.
There we go.
I never thought Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
All right. It's Here's your clue. This Philly-born actor fought his way into stardom in 1976 when he wrote and starred in his 1977
I can't believe Sylvester Stallone is calling my phone.
I didn't even have to play it.
They moved the statue.
Well, here, let me play the clip just in case, and then we have to go to the caller on the phone line. So here's the clip.
It became so action-oriented and had very, very little soul. Yeah. And let's face it, nobody runs around in the desert for 6 months in a tank top. They did. Every Arab in the world be walking around in spandex.
Okay, now your answer?
Yeah, I can't believe Sylvester Stallone is calling my phone.
All right, let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, are you there?
Gadzooks.
Do you agree or disagree with Eric Lindros?
I'm going to have to agree.
And that's correct. Yes.
It's easy.
There we
go. Hang on a sec. Right?
Listeners say the word gadzooks to us sometimes. It's a long story. I'll tell you another time.
He hasn't been here for a while. We drove by the art museum. He's like, Rocky's there now?
That's how long it's been.
He should be at the art museum. That's where he ran up the steps.
All right, here we go. Next one for Eric Lindros. This athlete was once unbeaten and unbeatable. Originally from Brooklyn, New York, he now fights his hangovers in Las Vegas. And here's the clip. She's from Philly, right?
Yes. Yeah. The left hook county. Joe Frazier made the left hook famous from Philly.
Yeah, that's true.
The left hook county. Yes, it runs into the Philadelphia spectrum.
All right, Eric, what do you think?
I can't believe Mike Tyson is calling my phone.
All right, let me go to listener Dan. He says Mike Tyson. Dan, are you there?
Matt Damon.
Yes. It's not Matt Damon. Do you agree or disagree with Mike Tyson?
I agree.
He's right. Yeah, that's right. All right. Hang on, Dan.
Matt Damon.
All right, here's the next one. This once child actor helped Harold and Kumar get to White Castle. And here's the clip.
Kind of cool to film a movie in, the heart of Times Square. It was fun to be doing it, and then kind of also disarming because you'd turn where the camera wasn't pointing, and there'd be 2,000 people with camera phones pointed at you, like you were a tourist attraction.
All right, Eric.
I can't believe Matt Cord is calling me.
I'll go to Craig. Hey, Craig.
Yes.
All right, Craig. Do you agree or disagree with Eric? And it's Matt Cord.
I would have to disagree.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris. So we're going to
play Doogie Howser.
Yep. Craig.
He's a very good enunciator.
Yes, he is.
He's a Boulevard beer.
They call him Mr. Enunciator.
Yeah. What a compliment.
Yeah. Really. I never thought of it.
You
that
are
one.
Exquisite with consonants.
All right, here we go. Next clue. This is a short one. Very short one, Eric.
Yeah.
This actor loves lamp. And here's the clip.
Yeah, there is some tongue action with Marissa Tomei.
Yay!
My wife could not be more pleased. The sad thing is that it doesn't bother her at all, and you almost would want it to bother her because she knows that it's such a foregone conclusion that there's not a chance in hell any of these women would actually be attracted to me.
All right, Eric, what do you think?
That's the office guy.
Otherwise, I'm going to
because it's Eric. They do it, Scranton.
Yeah.
Steve Carell is calling my phone.
There we go.
Can't believe what?
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. He
That's
says
his answer.
All right, let me go to Emily. Hi, Emily. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Emily, do you agree or disagree with Eric Lindros that it is Steve Carell?
I'm going to agree.
You are correct. Yes.
Oh God.
That is correct. All right, the next one we have for you.
Did you guys see Carell in that 60 Minutes?
Oh, yeah, intense.
Dude, that was good.
And that was all here.
So you're right, because that's the DuPont.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at all?
It happened really at the start when I first got here.
Right. Scary stuff, man.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, here's the next clue for Eric. This quote-unquote actor's favorite animal is a hedgehog.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay.
Here we go.
Half your audiences go, look, honey, they think they're acting, and they fast forward. Others go, wow, there's a real storyline in this film. Yeah. This is nice.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. That sounded kind of northeast. New York? No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an accent. It's,
you know the kind of movie star we had in earlier today?
Uh-huh.
Same world.
Oh.
Remember the guy you said that New York has that guy when I said you lived in New York and Al Pacino?
You got me here. I'm going to
guess. Well, you guess.
Matt Cord.
Matt Cord. I was calling my phone.
I'll go to Tricia. Hey, Tricia.
I have no idea.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Do you agree or disagree that it's Matt Cord?
I hate to disagree with Avril Lavigne on anything, but I will have to disagree.
Yeah, you disagree.
Good move.
So,
good move.
Right, you win in that regard.
Winner, winner.
I will give you a bonus prize if you can tell me who the celebrity is.
Oh, dear Lord.
What actor is known as the Hedgehog?
I have no clue.
Okay, it's Ron Jeremy. What did you say?
I was thinking of the Bronx. Who's the Bronx Tale guy that you had in?
Oh, Chaz Palminteri.
I thought that was Chaz Palminteri.
not from the porn world.
Yeah, Chaz Palminteri.
He sounds like Chaz.
Matt, stop.
All right, I think we only have one more, right?
This is it. Oh, yeah.
Last one for the...
Really?
Can't believe Eric Lindros.
Can't believe there's only one left.
Playing me. I can't believe this celebrity.
I never thought Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
By the way, Ron Jeremy didn't call on the phone. That was in studio.
No, he called on the phone, too.
Oh, but not in that case.
Yeah, hypothetically, that could have been a phone call.
No, no, no. Hang on. Let me hear this.
You know, half your audience is...
No, you're right.
That's in studio. Wow.
Half your audience is right here.
All right, here we go. This is the last one. Here we go, Eric.
Yeah.
This pint-sized powerhouse of an actor never drove a taxi in Philly. And here's the clip.
Ocean City, you can't get a beer down there.
Yeah.
It's dry town.
I can't believe Danny DeVito is calling my phone.
He says he can't believe Danny DeVito is calling his phone. All right, let me go to Oz. Hey, Oz, you're on the line.
How you doing?
Good. Oz, do you agree or disagree with Eric that was Danny DeVito?
I agree.
That is correct! Yeah. Nice work, guys. You did good on
that.
Not bad,
man.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Matt Cord was a little bit...
a little helpful?
Actually, more of a hindrance. Confusing Chaz Palminteri.
One for one.
It was one for one, that's for sure.
What time, what's going on with the festivities and the induction into the Hall of Fame?
I think we're
going
to head over there and have a little bite to eat and say hello to some people around 5:30 or so.
Okay.
We're going to head over to pregame skate and see... Brett wants to go over and see some of the Minnesota Wild play. And
that's
skate.
Awesome.
Yeah, so the Flyers played last night, and so they're not going to skate down at the rink. But we can't make it out to Jersey, so we're just going to head down to the
cool.
Okay. Wells Fargo. And at the game tonight, are they doing it right before?
Before.
I think
right
before. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Before.
All right, so get there early tonight.
Yeah, it should be fun.
And you'll get to see both, all three, actually, the Legion of Doom back together. Which
How
is
about the Crazy Eights?
Brent Fedick.
And it wasn't that...
Recky.
Yeah.
Fedick is the toughest portion of that trivia question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because the Crazy Eights line was number 18, Brent Fedick, number 8, Mark Recky, and number 88, Eric Lindros.
Are you staying for a couple days, or you got to get out of here?
Yeah, no, we're going to head home tomorrow.
Okay.
But we certainly have the full day today, and
awesome.
One quick question. Who was your favorite coach in the Flyers?
Roger Nielsen.
Roger Nielsen.
How come?
Roger Nielsen looked at... The 23 or 24 man roster is everybody was a little bit different. He didn't group a whole lot. He would have a rapport with players and knew how they ticked, as opposed to saying, "Well, these guys work great with negative reinforcement. These guys we have to do something else." He would really be specific in how he went about it. He was a really cool.
He wore the crazy ties too, right?
No, he was not part. We had. I remember we're in video. That was his thing too. It's early on. He was the first guy to do sports video to watch.
Wow. Is that right?
He was a real innovative person. And it went to this clip of all these Canadian geese flying overhead, and then he went into, you know, he'd show one that would drop. Well, he said that he put that on there because we found it very confusing. But he said that Canadian geese, one will come down and pick up the other one, and then they'll catch on to the flock again, as if to say everyone picks up for the next guy. Yeah, and he did it through geese. That was
the noble,
that was quite
the noble
something.
Geese.
But you remembered it. It stuck.
Yeah,
right?
He passed away. Right,
he did. Yes, unfortunately.
Well, he was attacked by a goose. Actually, wasn't very weird.
Hey, somebody wants us to have you say so we have it on record. I can't believe Casey Boy is calling my phone.
Can't believe Casey Boy is calling my phone.
There you go.
There it is. It's done.
Beautiful,
Eric. Great
Thank
to
you.
Have you back in town. Congratulations on getting in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Eric Lindros, ladies and gents.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
going to leave with the story, Casey, I told you about. It was kind of the opposite of the story that you said
okay.
in this whole taking a break thing. So in the spring of 2014, Eric Abramovitz got the opportunity of a lifetime. He just didn't know it. Abramovitz was the victim of a deception that a Canadian judge called despicable and granted him $350,000 in damages. He is a gifted Canadian clarinetist who received national attention when he was still in his teens. As a student at McGill University, he applied for a spot and a scholarship at the prestigious Colburn Conservatory in Los Angeles, where he would study under the famed clarinet teacher, Yehuda Gilead. I mean, it's a big deal. Gilead.
Yeah, yes, this is a complete life path, career-altering opportunity.
Now, this is kind of a lengthy story, but follow along with me. Only two spots open up a year for this, and they're seen as launching pads for elite careers. Competition is fierce. Abramovitz made it to the audition phase, but in March of 2014, he saw an email in his inbox telling him that he had been rejected. He said it was heartbreaking. He went through some really dark, sad, and angry days. His girlfriend at the time, a girl named Jennifer Lee, was another musician at McGill, and she consoled him. But Abramovitz's despair was born out of a lie, and Lee's comforting words were, in retrospect, really sick, he told the site. He had actually made it to the Colburn Conservatory. He never saw his acceptance email, however, because Lee got to it first and she sabotaged him.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, a Canadian judge concluded she didn't want him to move from Montreal to California.
So she didn't want them to break up, so she was going to deny him this chance of a lifetime.
Lee did not respond to a court summons or defend herself in court, by the way. Although he believed that he hadn't made it into the Colburn, Abramovitz was still determined to study under Gilead. Months after the rejection and after he and Lee had broken up, so they break up a couple of months later.
Yeah.
Abramovitz returned to California to audition for a different, less prestigious program. Gilead teaches in that program as well, although participants don't receive as much time with him as the Colburn students do. Oh, so he spoke about the moment that the wheels started turning. He said it was at his second audition before Gilead, in which they had a brief, strange interaction when Gilead said, "Why did you reject me?" This is the instructor saying, "Why did you reject me?" And Abramovitz asked in return, "Why did you reject me?" And he said they couldn't quite figure it out. So after a while, some time passed, and eventually Abramovitz forwarded the fake rejection letter to Gilead, who replied, "I've never seen that before in my life."
Could you imagine when you get that response back and suddenly your mind starts spinning?
Yeah. So one day in 2015, he and a friend set about trying to gain access to the fake email account. And because Abramovitz and Lee once shared a computer, he knew one of her passwords, which he tried. Boom. He got right in immediately. Her email was listed as the recovery email. Her phone was the recovery phone. He said, "We felt like Sherlock Holmes." He sued for $300,000 in damages. A judge concluded that he lost at least that much between the scholarship money and he missed out on the delay of his musical career. The judge added an additional $25,000 as punishment for morally reprehensible conduct and another $25,000 in damages for the incompensable personal loss suffered by Mr. Abramovitz by having a closely held personal dream snatched from him by a person he trusted. So I don't know what the story is with her, but after studying, by the way, his career wasn't completely derailed. He studied with Gilead.
He was working at Chippendales.
No, he's now an associate principal E-flat clarinetist at the Toronto Symphony, and he has a new girlfriend, too. But can you believe somebody would do that? This is the guy's dream.
Yeah.
And she shut it down like that.
Yeah, no wonder they broke up.
Yeah, exactly. A 32-year-old man was arrested after screaming at his neighbors and threatening to kill them because his testicles were hurting.
Yeah, man. You know, that's probable cause.
According to an arrest report, a caller reported a white man was on drugs and threatening to kill the neighbors with a gun. Deputies responded and made contact with the man while he was walking out on the road.
Oh, my balls!
The man was soaked from sweat and told police his testicles were hurting. And he said... He thought he had parasites from swimming in the creek.
Oh, my balls.
Yes, we know your balls.
An officer asked him what happened.
Oh, my balls.
And he said he was yelling and cursing because his testicles were hurting.
Oh, my balls.
He said... He said he was trying to use his neighbor's phones, but they wouldn't let him.
Oh, my balls.
He was apologetic for cursing and screaming, according to the report.
So parasites from the ocean were making his balls hurt.
I guess.
And that was the reason.
That's why he was screaming that he was going to kill his neighbors. Police found his phone crushed in the middle of the road from where he had apparently thrown it down earlier.
Oh, my balls.
You go crazy when your balls hurt. That's all there is.
True.
A woman is back in jail after she failed to show up in court for an aggravated battery charge. In October of last year, Kimberly Dunn shot her ex-husband in the testicles after he had tried to take an AC unit.
Oh, my balls!
I didn't even plan for these to be together. Dunn's estranged husband said that he came to her home with his brother to pick up the unit. He had discovered that she was attempting to sell it on Facebook, and the couple were going through a divorce. When the man and his brother attempted to unhook the unit, the woman sat on it to prevent the two men from taking it. When the ex-husband approached, he tried to remove her from the AC unit, but Dunn produced a pink stun gun and attempted to electrocute him. Dunn was struck in the head and dropped both the pink stun gun and the handgun. Dunn reportedly got up off the ground and shot him in the testicles with the handgun.
Oh, my balls!
The man's brother pushed onto the ground and attempted to help his brother and drove him to the hospital.
Oh, my balls!
The report said the ex-husband's brother screamed, "You shot my brother!"
Oh, my balls!
And began choking her until she blacked out. Wow.
You know what? Maybe they're on a break.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's what it's about.
Dunn's ex-husband picked up the gun after the shooting and brought it with him to the hospital. Dunn was arrested the same day and was taken to the jail without incident. She told deputies that she didn't mean to shoot her ex-husband in the testicles.
Oh, my balls!
And was only trying to scare him. So she's in trouble.
All for an air conditioner.
One last story, and I love this one. A City of Madison, Wisconsin fire department rescued a 20-year-old UW-Madison student who had climbed a tree and could not get back down.
Oh, my balls!
What does that have to do with
it? I don't know. It just seems to be a theme.
Engine Company 4 was dispatched to Henry Mall on the UW campus. The 20-year-old student climbed a tree there, but soon realized that she didn't know how to get back down.
This happens a lot. It seems like it's going to be a no-brainer. Well, I made it up. It should be easy making it down. And that's where the fear kicks in.
I've had it happen to me before when I was a kid. The student was situated about 8 or 9 feet off the ground. She wasn't even that high
up. No.
And she apparently strategized for about 20 minutes before ultimately calling 911 for assistance. Firefighters propped up an extension ladder, and the woman climbed out of the tree.
They should have chopped the tree down.
Without incident, she was not injured and needed no medical attention. Asked if she was done climbing trees for the day, the fire department post says the student replied, maybe. So they actually had to come and get a human out of a tree. And that is the bizarre file for now, my friends.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar. Grab your friends and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Hey, I'm not familiar with Chambers Dictionary. Steve, have you heard of that?
Chambers Dictionary. Yeah. Oh, that's Marilyn Chambers, the porn star.
Oh.
Before she got into porn, she was a linguist.
I didn't know that.
And had written a number of I don't know. I've never heard of that.
No, I hadn't either. But they added some... they added about 1,000 new words to their latest edition.
Is this the Wikipedia of dictionaries, or is it? I don't know. Because
sure.
Obviously Webster's is or the Oxford English Dictionary, the more accepted sources over the Chambers or Ron Jeremy Dictionary.
It's right. Widely used by British crossword solvers and settlers.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, settlers. They've added a few.
Settlers. We're an entire community composed of crossword puzzle enthusiasts.
Oh, and by Scrabble players.
Oh,
okay. Well, they've added a few things to their
their
list of words, which are very interesting, actually.
It's funny you should mention that because a lot of times I will get words tweeted at me or people send pictures of words that aren't accepted in the game of Scrabble, that aren't accepted in Words with Friends.
Right.
So there seems to be a wealth of words that aren't. What are some of the new words that are accepted?
MILF is one of the words.
Wow. It's not a word. It's an acronym.
Well, but now
maybe it's made its way into
the
word.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you think MILF it's MILF, but I guess MILF itself now has become a word.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. BOYF.
BOYF? What is BOYF?
BOYF. Is that boyfriend?
Boyfriend?
BOYF?
Well, BF is best friend, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what BOYF would
I guess.
Be.
Yeah, boyfriend.
Is it like a
BOYF?
BIF? Is it
no, it's a boyfriend.
Yeah, short for boyfriend.
All right. Well, that's now in the Chambers Dictionary.
That's stupid.
Is girlfriend?
Girlf? Not that I know of. If it is, they didn't mention it.
I mean, that is a painful contraction. If you're taking boyfriend down to boyf, why not just finish it?
Yeah. YOLO is also added to their list.
I hate YOLO. Also, I just hate YOLO.
What is that?
It's also an acronym.
You only live once.
YOLO. But now, I guess it's kind of an exclamation, though.
I do like yo-yos, though.
YOLO. Yo-yos are fun.
Are very fun.
Mm-hmm. Totes.
Really? I hate that. People will do that now just like as a joke. I don't think they actually mean it.
But
you know
Kathy,
what I mean?
When it's not a joke, I want to kill him with a shovel.
I know, yes, that's what I mean. You can't actually be saying
oh
that.
Oh my God, when I hear it, I want to die when someone says totes. Now, totes McGoats is acceptable.
Well,
totes.
I was McGoats.
I was wondering if that... was that made up from that movie, or had Totes already been around?
Totes was already around.
Oh. Okay.
Totes McGoats, I think, might have been made up for...
Right.
The movie.
And then the last one is Amazeballs.
Oh, yeah.
I see Amazeballs a lot.
I hate that. Too.
I will accept it from certain people.
Amazeballs?
Yeah, mostly the clergy.
I don't like Amazeballs and Awesome Sauce and things like that.
Yeah, so
would you accept it if the Pope says it, though?
No, I'm not Catholic.
It's great to say everyone here is Amazeballs. And the fact that you're here for Easter Mass is just Amazeballs and Awesome Sauce.
You might not be Catholic, but you've said you like the Pope. So
I do like
you
the Pope,
might be
but
okay
I don't know.
If,
I'd be okay with it. I don't know if I would accept it as maybe. He's pretty cool.
He's cool.
Well, yeah. you know what I cannot stand still, and it's something that there's actually a TV commercial that employs it. It is the using of the hashtag construct in actual conversation.
Yeah, no.
You know,
I can't stand hashtag on social media.
When you're talking and you employ, right, exactly, but when you employ it in regular conversation as if you're adding an addition to your own thought with a hashtag, I want to kill you.
Yeah. Don't do that.
There are people who tweet, and that's where hashtag started, right?
Right,
it was on Twitter.
Yeah. So, actually with the Vatican.
Well, after the Vatican, they tweet in nothing but hashtags.
I hate that.
And that eliminates the point of the tweet.
Right. I mean, the tweet already is a paring down of the communication.
Right.
Now you're taking it down to... You know, it just at a certain point, we're going to communicate like porpoises.
And do I sound old when I complain about that? Like, it's just stupid. You're being stupid.
You want your gramophone back.
So stupid.
Well, I'm all right with then moving on and advancing as a society. And I like Twitter as a form of communication. I just don't think that's a good
Whatever
way to communicate.
Whatever happened to semaphore?
Semaphore is terrific.
Yeah.
All of those things, totes, what were the amazeballs? They're all fine before they become popular. And more people start saying it.
Like, because it gets more annoying.
If I had heard somebody say amazeballs for the first time, I would have thought, all right, that was pretty cool. I might use that myself. But when I see it in commercials or movies or TV shows.
Or my mom says it.
Or your mom says it or whatever.
God.
Is it the commercial where the girl goes, awesome sauce?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
that's
she goes,
the
my
one.
My sister says that. Well, now, officially, awesome sauce is terrible.
The one that I think is completely off the table that drives me crazy is just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
No more.
I remember
no
Steve.
No more with just saying.
Way back when in the 90s, and it was like an Entertainment Weekly or something like that. It was when the term bling was starting to become hot.
God, yeah.
And like there you had Mary Hart saying, Snoop Dogg was wearing so much bling in this outfit. And we were like,
no.
Yeah. Throw your TV out the window.
Snoop Dogg took out his gat and popped a cap in his ass. Come on. Yeah, when it crosses over to Mary Hart's lingo, it's pretty much out of the run.
Jeff on the phone. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks.
Hey. Gadzooks, what's up, man?
There's one word that really gets under my skin. I see it all the time. Any grown man teen with this on his shirt should be detected by a mountain lion. It's swag.
Swag?
Yeah.
I got swag
and all that.
Let me clarify a few things here because I've heard it pronounced two different ways. Thanks, and there's no H in it, but I hear people say swag.
Swag?
Swag, yeah.
And it's not spelled with an H. Now, is swag actually an acronym as well, or what is?
No, we'd always, when I was an intern, we would make swag bags.
Right.
And it was what does swag stand
it's
for?
It's stuff, man. You know.
There's got to be a step or point, though, where it became swag.
Special Warfare Action Group.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's not the radio station one.
No, it's bumper stickers and
silver wine,
coupons.
Art, and gold.
Okay, which is what most radio stations used to give out.
Now, right?
Silver wine, art, and gold.
But when you said,
here's your Renoir and here's your gold doubloon.
When you said swag, that was always like a like bad weed. Was swag?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
Bill West is in here. Did the radio station ever give out bad weed as a
swag?
Okay. No, brick weed.
Not on purpose.
It's a bad weed weekend on MMR. We got some good skunk weed, and we're looking to move it.
We always called that ditch weed.
Ditch weed.
Yeah.
Inferior total, pot.
That's a bag of ditch, man.
Yeah. Every hour, win your bag of ditch.
Smoke it anyway.
Well, I mean, you're not going to waste your money.
Come on,
crying out loud!
I already bought it.
There are kids in China who are just wish they had.
At that point, you can count a slight headache as a buzz.
You're dehydrated.
Well, basically, just walking into a wall will generate the same effect,
that's
right?
That's true, but you didn't pay for it.
Yeah,
so you got to smoke it. Yeah, they said back in May. Actually, I mean, some of the Merriam-Webster. They added theirs back in May, and I think we already covered that, but they had 150 new words in their collegiate dictionary, and hashtag and selfie, and it says tweep.
Oh, tweep is a Twitter person.
Yeah, your Twitter followers.
Yeah.
What's up, tweeps?
This social media stuff infuriates me the way it shouldn't. Like, it's just social media, but the hashtag stuff is just so annoying. Why?
What about Bay?
And you're usually a very accommodating person, Kathy.
Like, you know that the new clip in the beginning of the show? Like, that's what I want to do when I talk about when people talk about hashtags.
Sorry, destroy everything you own.
Bay.
B-A-E.
Beyonce? Yeah, and no. Like, that's your baby.
It's my bae.
You can't finish the word baby.
Yeah. No, you can't. That's one
lazy
more letter, Steve.
A society have we gotten? Well, you can't. Your mouth almost says baby automatically.
That's another syllable and another letter.
I'd never heard bae before.
If you stop at bae, because it's almost like you've gone up a hill and on the other side is bee. So bae.
Then there's doe, D-O-E, which is
a deer, a female deer.
Nope, it's short for though.
Doe?
Yeah.
What is that in Homer Simpson language?
No. You can say, and I'm going to sound really old, but my bae has dad ass dough. And that would be.
My bae has dad ass dough?
That'd be an actual tweet.
Wow.
I bet you if you Google what I just said,
it means
my baby has a great ass.
Okay.
Doesn't she, though?
It's the way Alfalfa
would say.
Doesn't
she, though?
Yeah. Golly.
Golly gee. What a turd cutter.
Yeah.
Doe. Okay, I get it. Oh, Doe.
D-O-E. Yeah.
Isn't this just natural evolution, though?
No, this is stupidity.
Evolution of word
economy?
Yeah.
No, well, yeah, there's
I mean,
word economy
used
and there's just asinine.
Nobody speaks, Steve.
Exactly.
It is.
It's
Orwellian. What are you saying, Casey?
People just used to say do not. Now they say don't.
They also used to spell out donut, you know, and now it's D-O-N.
However, it is still considered if you are writing a business letter or you're writing something where you want to have some impact, you are advised not to use contractions.
Sure.
You want
true.
It. Right.
But
true.
I wonder back.
Because contractions indicate a level of laziness. Informality and laziness.
When did contractions start?
Usually when you're in the ninth
semester. Yeah. Course, 8.5 months, something yeah. like that. Yeah.
All right.
Hang on. Let me go to Shelby. Hi, Shelby. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Hey. I don't know if you watched The Office or at all, like when it was on, but Steve yes. Carell's character would say swag means stuff we all get.
Stuff we all get.
Yeah.
Maybe that, I don't know. There, yeah, because there has to be. It's too random a collection of letters to just not mean anything.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like legitimate, but that's what it was in The Office.
Yeah, no, that might be close to it. Maybe, yeah, I'll take that. All right, thanks for calling.
We're looking at some communication online here between somebody that says, "Sia is a bae, doe."
Yeah, there you go.
Bae on the low, doe.
Wait, what does doe stand for again?
Though.
Oh.
Sia is a babe, though. A babe on the low, doe.
The low,
though.
Lolo, though.
It says doe, but it would mean though.
Right.
Yeah, but me as an old man reading that, I would say bay is on the low, female deer.
Case, I just got a text that said, you guys sound like old white people.
Yes, right? We absolutely are.
We're white people. Yeah.
I'm a middle-aged white guy.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
Am I not supposed to sound like that?
No.
No, it's the worst thing you can sound like, what you are.
What you are, exactly.
But right? In an odd way, our job sort of requires us to be able to communicate with 22-year-old white women, and they started adopting things. It's like when rap became popular in suburban white schools, you know? It's like it's just a migration of urban culture and urban slang.
Nick, I was so hip-hop earlier in my life, and I had it all going on, and I mean, it was me, but I had to change. I didn't realize.
It's funny, if you go back and watch something like Sister Act 2,
yeah.
where these kids are all street, you know?
I know, they sound like idiots.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was a much more benign street, you know? It's like Dangerous Minds.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you 90% of the teachers in Philadelphia would kill for students that which are considered punks.
All right. Let me go to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Sorry to bother you at work.
Oh, it's okay.
What's up, man?
Not much. Yeah, I was calling in to say I absolutely hate the word obvi.
Obvi, as in obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nails on a chalkboard.
See, but I can understand at least that is a longer word. All right. Maybe you're a wealthy business person who doesn't have time to complete that word, and so you're going to say obvi. But baby becoming bay, no. It doesn't fly.
A friend of mine opened up a boutique called Obvi, and it stemmed from her and her college friends saying,
idea.
Obvi.
Yeah. And is it doing all right?
Yeah, she has two of them now, one in Conshohocken
really?
And one in Westchester.
I'm going to start a boutique called Shovel, which you can buy to hit anyone who says Obvi. Right next to Obvi, check out Shovel.
Hi, Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Matt, I just wanted to quickly explain that. Bay is actually stands for something and not short for baby.
What is bay stands for what now?
Actually, it stands for before anyone else. I don't know who the genius was that came up with it, but
it stands for that, but it basically means that it's like my baby, it's my babe, it's that kind of I know it's an acronym for that.
I was just saying, at least it's not as dumb as just shortening baby, you know what I mean?
All right, so baby
no,
is
more
B-A.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's more stupid than we'd ever thought.
Before,
it really is.
Before anyone else.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to tell Casey that was a beautiful way of putting that sentence together before.
That was me.
That was Nick.
I'm the cool one.
Oh, yeah. Nick's the cool one.
Nick is the blackest one on the show.
Thanks, Sean.
Obvi.
Yeah.
Obvi.
All right, so you're all right. It means... first of all, it's a Danish word for poop, but it's also used...
Bay is?
Yes, but it's also used for people on the internet who think it means baby, sweetie.
All right, so it's either a Danish word for poop or baby, sweetie.
Right, exactly.
And it's up to the person engaged in the conversation to decide
whether... Right.
Yeah.
But it's futile to resist all this stuff.
Of course.
Because, like, you know, especially social media-wise...
No, I still speak Latin. I refuse to give up.
It's not going anywhere.
So hard to work with
you.
It
is, absolutely, yes.
You're only going to get older, and it's only going to get worse.
What's the shelf life of Twitter?
Quite a while.
That's a good question. You know, I was thinking somebody's going to come along... and give you 160 characters.
Here's another one. This can be a bit of a pet peeve of mine. Some of them, anyway. Filler words. Like, you know, like, and I mean.
Oh, we never do that on the show.
No, the one that I can't stand is that's overused anyhow. I mean, obviously you can say and you know and things like that. You know can get overused and like can get way overused.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve of yours.
I can't stand like, especially if it's used several times in one sentence.
You pick up on it before I do, and then you'll point it out to me, and then I can't help but notice it as soon as it starts happening from that person.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, Preston, how many people who are pretty conversive and you think would not be that way employ like in regular conversation.
Well, in fact, this study says that if you tend to use words like that, it suggests that it's because you're a thoughtful, conscientious person who cares about the truthfulness of your speech.
So if you clutter your language with a bunch of useless words, you care about speech?
It might be.
Okay.
The University of Texas research says that people who use these filler words are letting you know that instead of telling you the exact truth about something, details have been removed. Either because they can't remember exactly or the details aren't really important.
What?
How does that make you conscientious?
How does that make you? That just means you're forgetful.
Yeah. They also found that the filler words were more common among people who are conscientious, more likely to become empathetic.
Empathetic? I don't.
And care about the listener.
I don't think that makes any sense at all. I think someone who cares pays attention to the detail and is able to relay that information without filling it with a bunch of crap.
The researchers believe the reason is that these types of people are, quote, generally more thoughtful and aware of themselves and their surroundings, and their use of the filler words show that they have a, quote, desire to share or rephrase options to recipients.
What about sentence enhancers, Preston?
from SpongeBob. SpongeBob. There are plenty of those. yeah, when somebody says, like, a lot. I definitely pick up on it right away, and I just that's all that I focus on.
Especially if it's a male. Remember, we had that one guy call in, and he wouldn't stop.
Oh,
saying,
yeah,
like,
yes.
It was so hard to listen
it's
to.
More, it's a little more obvious when a guy is doing it. Hang on a second. Let me go to There's Bill here. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. So what do you want to share with us?
Going back to swag, I always knew swag as secretly we are gay.
Secretly we are gay. So yes. when we give away swag, we are basically saying we are gay.
Well, I have a cousin who lived in California, and that's what that was the first time I heard it when I was real little.
Secretly
you know,
we
there.
Are gay.
Oh, my God. Dude, there have been so many gay myths
sure.
over the years. So this is when you were younger?
Yes.
Yeah. So they were just, somebody would walk up and just say, swag.
Yeah, there are people who will swear that UPS stands for Under Paul Schlong.
Under Paul's Schlong?
Yeah, which is not, it's just not the case.
No, when I...
United Parcel Service.
When I was a kid, it was if you had an earring in your right ear.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That meant you were displaying that you were gay.
Right. Or if you had a penis in each hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a little more obvious.
If you're a guy.
Obvious. Yeah.
And a penis, yeah.
Was it the parting of the hair, too? Men?
If your hair is being parted by another man's penis?
No, that's not what I meant.
I don't remember a
I think, yes, a part, you're right. A part, the part, where the part was in your hair, and this is probably just complete urban legend.
It is.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, you know, it would indicate whether you were gay or not, or whether you were looking or not. Also, the handkerchief in the back of your assless chaps. No, the handkerchief in the back of your pants would indicate whether you were looking or not.
I kind of miss those, you know, because now they're disproven so quickly. You just go to Snopes or whatever. And for a while, in probably 94, 95, Dave Matthews was gay and had AIDS.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's too bad. You know, I sort of like those new songs. And, you know, it took a while for those rumors to go away.
No, yeah, you're right. Some stuff could kind of linger around. And
what was the thing with the pressing the wrist? You know, everyone had those wrist
slap bracelets.
Well, they made of leather. There was one associated with that. Which wrist you wore that on?
Well, I was thinking, Steve, you're talking about like the rainbow ones that like color meant that you'd give oral, and another color meant that you would do other stuff.
Oh, that was recent.
No, that was recent. Yeah, yeah.
Legit or was that urban legend?
That was
stuff?
Legit.
That was legit.
Yeah.
Too legit.
Too legit. Yeah.
Totes and amaze balls and all these other things have come up
in the dictionary.
It's yes. Amaze balls.
Yeah.
Totes my goats.
I also saw this, just going through a couple of things I've been sitting on for a little bit here. Losing your virginity, one of the more memorable moments. Results of a new study shows that Americans losing their virginity today are having better experiences than those who did the same 20 or 30 years ago.
Mine was pretty good. You said yours was pretty good as well.
Mine was fine. I mean, it was very, very quick, as I said, but I clearly remember it.
Is this more for girls or guys?
Well, Nick was just saying that for both genders, it's apparently better.
I'm really looking forward to it.
No, she's not. It's messy.
Researchers question over 5,000.
She means from behind.
People at a Midwestern U.S.
My
university.
Second virginity.
This is over a 23-year period.
Really?
Men were found to feel less anxious about their performance compared to men 20 years ago.
Hmm.
And women were found to feel less guilty about their first time. You know what? That's a good question because I remember being terrified.
Were you terrified?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew what to do and I knew how to do it and all these other things, but I just not scared of that it was going to hurt or anything like that, but scared of poor performance, scared of just all of that
stuff. I was comfortable, but there was the comfortable nature of the experience. I mean, I knew this custodian, so he made me feel at home. He put down a nice, there was like a sleeping bag, and it was great. No, though, it was, yeah, you can't help but be nervous.
It says here that women feel less guilty about the first time. And I remember a good friend of mine, a female, and I was there the night that she
lost
her virginity. I was with my girlfriend. My buddy was with her, and they were boyfriend, girlfriend. And when she was done, she was crying afterwards, not in the, oh, this is horrible type of thing, but more of she felt a little guilty about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know. A friend of mine said when she cried, but it was more that this was a step in life, and she was with someone she cared about, so it cried more because she felt it was wonderful.
Well, apparently, this researcher says that the virginity loss today is not as big a deal as it was 20 to 30 years ago.
Yeah, now the way to do it is to do it on a YouTube video. Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, there's that show, The Leftovers, and there's this one scene in there where they're kind of playing a version of Spin the Bottle on their iPhone.
I want to get that.
And one
looks
of them,
interesting.
One of them, I mean, if you played Spin the Bottle, you had to kiss somebody.
That's it.
And the biggest thing I remember as a kid, you did Spin the Bottle, and if it landed on you like three times in a row, it was a French kiss.
Okay.
This one was sex spin the bottle.
Whoa.
So like, you know, like, so
Kat, and how old were the kids?
They were high school.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if it's as casual as that portrayed it to be.
Well, it
was extremely casual.
I hope it's that casual.
Do you?
Well, that's so I can be jealous of it.
Yeah.
Because that's awesome.
But I mean, literally, you spin the bottle and spin the phone and it would point to whoever it was and it would. I mean, it was like either straight up banging or
something else.
All the things that come in between that. Yeah,
I think easy access to porn has something to do with it too, because you can, like anything, you can dial it up on your phone. You know, when we were younger, obviously porn was not as easy to find. Casey, you had to find it in a dumpster somewhere.
You had to go out and look for it, or know somebody who had some.
And now it's everywhere. And I think that sort of demystifies sex a little bit.
I think it's more access to news aggregator sites.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I mean, not for nothing, but go to HuffPost and you're going to see some kind of boob thing today, you know, like there's sex everywhere, including news aggregators.
So not as big a deal as it was 20 to 30 years ago. That's kind of weird.
Do you, your first time, was it with someone you were involved with? Okay.
It was, we were kind of rebounding for a moment.
Okay.
We had been together and then that.
So you're playing basketball.
And, yeah. It was actually, I was great on the boards.
Round and round of rebound.
Yeah. but we kind of got together after we weren't boyfriend girlfriend.
Okay.
And we ended up doing it, and she didn't know that it was my first. We had her on the show.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, we had her on the show.
She's a nun now.
Is this after high school?
It was right after. It was the summer that I graduated.
Who was the youngest here?
Probably Steve, right?
16?
Yeah, okay. You were young.
Yeah.
I was 18.
Okay. Man.
Kathy was 32.
I was 16. Just looking over at our little one because I think it's her. I didn't say no. I said I think it's you.
Wow.
How old?
Because we talked about this before.
I think Marissa was. I think you were a good girl. You waited until you were eight.
I'm still waiting.
No, I'm still waiting.
Turned
yes,
31
yes.
in 3 weeks.
There we go.
You guys crack me up with the ones with the parents in town.
They're sick right now. They're not even listening.
Yeah, yeah.
17.
17.
So Steve wins.
Okay. All right. Kathy thinks she's lying. I'm looking at her
now. No. Yeah. That was actual intercourse.
You were in college?
Really, oh. Kathy? Like, really?
I love you.
Yeah. Sure.
When was the first time you did it not for money?
So 18 here, 16 for you. How about you guys?
19. I was almost 19.
I was old.
18 and a half.
I was among the last of my friends, that's for sure. I think I was the oldest guy in my group. So I felt like pressure at that point because I was one of the only virgins left, and I felt bad as a result.
Yeah.
I felt like pressure, like I had to
sure.
get it.
Sure.
Well, especially on the guy's side, do girls feel that pressure, or is that...
I know a lot of girls, Steve, like the week that they got to college. It was, I'm okay. getting it out of the way, and I wish I'd known that attitude before,
right, yeah.
But I found out afterwards. But yeah, they got into school, and they were like, you know what, I'm a virgin out of high school, I'm going to get it taken care of. And
first dude I see with a ponytail.
I'm in. Count me in.
It was always upperclassmen. The freshman girls course, would yeah. always
That's
have...
That's true. These yeah. are things you need to know going into college.
Also...
I wonder if it's that way now, though.
I think it is. And yeah. I think if you are an RA or like you want to... What's the orientation people that...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They introduce the kids when they get to campus. That's a good way to meet people as well.
As to what? Be it's, one of those?
You, like So freshmen usually get there a few days in advance, and some upperclassmen yeah. will come back and be in charge of the orientation, and they spend time with the freshmen on the halls, and I know girls that hooked up with those guys. And I was like, wow, that's a great way to meet girls.
So when you're leading the tour around school, just lead them around with your pants off.
Says here also, first-timers today were found to be more likely to be in a relationship than those a few years ago.
Well, that's encouraging.
Says this indicates that intimacy is likely to have increased gradually, and so may explain why women's pleasure was found to increase over time and their guilt to decrease.
Because they're with someone they care about.
I guess so.
And not some guy who was riding on the back of a van.
Yeah. So, but it's happening with a little less anxiety these days, and I guess that's kind of a good thing, right?
Kathy, how old were you?
18.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I shouldn't say that. It's my mom.
Yeah.
I meant to say the year I got married.
Yeah,
that's right.
However old you were then.
No.
What was your first non-teacher encounter?
Stop it. Stop. Why? Stop.
God. When did you start dating students as opposed to faculty?
Toughest part about it, though, was just finding a place to do it.
Yeah.
I had opportunities, but we just couldn't find a place to do it. You like literally didn't have anywhere you could go. It was nope. the car, and that was pretty much it.
God.
And you had to find the right parking lot.
I had a Bonneville, yes. which you could actually stay. You could have a daisy chain in it.
Just the back seat.
You could have people that you never even met in the car having sex.
Yeah. My parents had a Caprice Classic. That thing was huge, too.
Preston,
gigantic.
Where I grew up, people would go to Valley Forge National Park, and then, you know, you could hook up there, and, you know, where the
That's
arch
That's what
is.
They fought for.
Yeah, right?
One day, this will be the site of countless teen sexual encounters.
But then the security started catching on, and, you had to find... That place was good for a little while, and then... It was no good anymore, so you had to find someplace else to go.
I know somebody whose son got caught by the police. He was just making out with his girlfriend. That was it. They were just kissing in the front seat of his car. He got a citation for that. And I thought,
for what?
Making out?
Making out for necking in a car.
But what's the charge?
I don't know exactly what the charge would be. Maybe
public indecency?
Public indecency, possibly something like that. I don't think any clothing was. But I thought to myself when the cop needed to make sure that that the girl wasn't being forced to do anything, you know, and
understandable.
All that sort of stuff. Once all of that was settled, cop needs to just drive away and let him go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're just 16-year-old kids doing what 16-year-old kids do. And he wrote him a ticket.
Yeah.
Parents get called and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean,
how old was this guy?
16. They were both 16.
And they were just making out?
Just making
out. They were in a car. Now, that would be illegal now, though, right? You can't be driving around if you're 16
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like midnight or anything like that.
Okay.
No, but you can't. Yeah, you can't be 16 years old and not have an adult
in the car
licensed
at this
driver
point. Yeah,
in the car.
So. Well, then give him a ticket for that.
Well, the adult was in the back seat, Preston.
Oh,
you guys have your fun. I'll be back here reading.
You almost done.
But I think the boy was the only one.
Just
who
a
got
few more minutes, Gum Gum.
Yeah.
Another few more minutes, Gum Gum. We'll be home in time for Matlock.
Man, well, I remember, though, being supremely jealous of my fellow or my non-virgin buddies.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They'd experienced it.
It was everything.
They'd been in the Holy Land.
You know?
Literally.
It was the goal. That's it. Got to get this, and that's all there is to it. Hang on, let me go to Vincent. Hey, Vincent, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys? You guys rock, man.
Oh! Thank you, Vincent. What's up?
I just turned 14 when I lost my virginity.
That's pretty young.
Girl, yeah, I know. But the girls kept on coming on to me, so I didn't know what to do, but my buddies were antagonizing me, so I went for it. But I was scared to death because her dad looked like Charles Manson. He was a biker.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying to me, "Don't you dare touch my daughter." I was like, "Oh my God!" And she wanted it so bad. And then I didn't know. I wanted it too.
Well, you figured the only downside was that her dad was a Charles Manson motorcycle gang member. Yeah.
Is that how you lost your teeth, by the way?
Yeah. Heck, you know.
Yeah, punch those teeth right in.
Oh, just a wild guess. Thank you, Vincent.
Oh, my God.
Wow, man. I don't know if I would still nail the daughter of a Charles Manson biker.
No way. I wouldn't even be friends with her.
14, though. No, I mean,
14. My son's about to turn 14.
Could you imagine?
How could you imagine?
No.
You don't want that. No.
He's not ready for that.
He should be in his room listening to you and your wife have sex.
on the intercom.
Yeah, that's a little too early for a high five from dad, you know?
No, you know, the classic story is...
Anthony Kiedis?
Lorenzo Lamas. Oh. Well, that as well. His dad brought him to a brothel. And that was here we go.
There was a day and age when stuff like that took place.
Would happen, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my dad took me to the home show.
I'm going to go to...
Pick something.
I'm going to go to Beth. Hi, Beth. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Great. What's happening, Beth?
Hey, Conestoga High School, class of 1977.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
My parents and my boyfriend's parents both worked. My boyfriend would stay home sick. I would give him my house key. He would go to my house.
Wow.
I would go to the nurse, and the nurse would call him, thinking he was my dad.
Oh, it was like God. It was like a porno Ferris Bueller. Oh my
God. And how old were you at the time, Beth?
17.
Okay, 17's at least in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And so you had a scam going. Did you ever come close to being discovered?
No.
Really? Preston, as a parent, are you living in terror? The same stuff you did yourself as a young man, do you live in terror of now?
Not yet.
Okay.
You will when your daughter gets older.
I know.
It's got to be worse for parents who have daughters.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just wish I would have had a chick like Beth on my
list. It would have been awesome
back in the day. That would have been sweet.
You are the best, Beth.
Yes.
Wow. Whose idea? Because it is kind of brilliant. Whose idea was that?
It was my idea.
Look, you were awesome.
Stoke of pride, baby.
Yeah.
Nice work.
I hope you graduated with honors.
Go Pioneers.
Because I would have given you an honor.
Yeah. You know what? I went to high school with a girl who she would hang, like her, it would be her and her boyfriend in the basement. Parents never came down. They did whatever they wanted.
I know. I knew people like that.
Listen, several times a night.
Casey, one of my first real girlfriend, it was that case with her parents. They would go up to bed. And I'm like, I would almost want to say, you do know what we're going to be doing here, right? I mean, it's almost like it was so obvious, and yet it didn't seem to have any consequence. They just went up to bed.
Six times a night. I mean,
what? Six times a night. You
remember high school?
What?
They did it six times a night? That's what this guy said?
The girl said it.
Wow.
Yeah. Like every night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
How the hell? What? Did she, I don't can't even wrap my mind around that. Let me sit down.
Let me go to Jameson. Hey, Jameson, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Gadzooks.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. So I'm actually sitting in the car right now that my brother pulled into a Quest Diagnostics in Lansdale and actually got caught by the cops for having sex with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had to call backup on him.
Why?
No idea why. I have no idea why, but my brother's kind of always been a wild child, and he decided it was a good idea to just pull into the Quest Diagnostics.
Jameson, how old was he and how old was she?
I think they were both around 16 and a half, 17 at the time.
Okay.
Still in high school.
You know what's ironic is I actually gave a sperm sample to Quest Diagnostics one time.
Yep.
Well, so did he.
I really did. Yes.
It was just in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Instead of bringing in a receptacle, he just brings the girl in.
Yeah, slot number four.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I told you guys, it was a Montessori school parking lot one time.
With your wife?
It's a better education.
No, that would have been a full-grown adult by then.
Oh, okay. You probably had a place to stay at that point.
Yeah, but then it was okay to go back to our apartment.
When are your parents going up to bed?
Do you think that...
we're 30.
Do police officers love busting teenagers like that, or is it just a pain in the ass for them? Because
it's got to be awkward.
I assume that sometimes it can be very funny, and other times it's got to be.
Also depends on whether they're a parent or not.
Yeah.
True.
You know what I mean?
And if they're the parent of the girl that they're busting the session.
Oh, dude, there's a... Steve, you didn't see, and this isn't giving anything away, but Real Detective.
Yeah.
True Detective?
True Detective, I'm sorry. Yeah. There's a thing with Woody Harrelson and finding his daughter.
His daughter in a compromising situation?
Yeah, and
he's a
detective.
So what, he goes nuts?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, it's pretty damn cool what he does, actually. But anyhow.
So what's worse, having the dad be a cop or a Charles Manson motorcycle gang member?
That's a good question. I don't know. But anyhow, it seems like it seems to be a little less of a big deal these days, losing the virginity. And according to this study,
there's nothing wrong with waiting, though.
There's not as much, there's not as much guilt and there's not as much anxiousness amongst the boys and the girls.
And you're saying that a good portion of that has to be due with the fact that they are in relationships when it happens.
Yep, part of that.
Well,
is.
That's good.
This summer,
surprise!
The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
We have a guest in studio that we have to get to right now. He's got a new film out that is called The Thingamabobs, and of course you remember him from movies like Diner, Aliens, TV shows like My Two Dads, and Mad About You. Please welcome Mr. Paul Reiser to the show this morning.
That's the kind of applause I'm looking for first thing in the morning.
How you doing, Paul?
Good.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good. I gotta talk to my wife. That's the kind of an introduction I'd like first thing out, in the morning.
Yeah. Not when you wake up.
A little applause, a little appreciation.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of stage and screen.
That's right.
Mr. Paul Reiser.
Now having toast and coffee in the main room. Here's Dad.
You started off doing stand-up stuff, didn't you?
I did, and I'm going to end up doing it. I have a feeling. I see it coming around the corner. I did. One of my favorite gigs used to be here in Philly. Is it still open? The Comedy Works?
No. There's a Salad Works now. The original Salad.
That used to be a great gig, because I remember it was in the top of a Lebanese restaurant. So you'd have great Middle Eastern food served by belly dancers.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
Even if the show was bad, dinner was good.
You still got entertainment. Exactly. You were a contemporary of Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld as well.
Yeah.
Do you still do that thing where you walk across the bridge?
We've been doing that for 25 years now.
Explain that ritual that you do.
We just get lost. It's five. It started at five. It's now four of us, and it was a private thing, and then suddenly somebody talked. About 25 years ago, we had nothing to do on a New Year's Day, and none of us had dates, and we had lunch together, and then We ended up walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, and it was something kind of magical about that.
And it's something that, like a ritual that sort of portends good things, or you hope it's appeasing the comedy gods, so
you know
to speak?
How, you know how in the beginning of the year you get your calendar and you have nothing to put in there?
Right.
I have at least one thing. I go, okay, next January 1st, and I go right to that, and I feel so accomplished. Having lunch in 364 days from now. Otherwise, I'm open.
Well, we were talking off air about the Aristocrats, which you're in as well, right? Yeah. So and you're and obviously this film, which you also wrote. Are there any other movies that you're going to be out in?
War of the Worlds. If you look at that carefully, you see I wrote that.
Wow.
And if you look at 40-year-old Virgin, look carefully. That's me. No, it's just ironic. The Aristocrats is it's really silly, funny, and it's Penn Jillette and Paul Provenza, who's an old comedy buddy of mine,
right.
And I don't know, 2-3 years ago, he said, you know, we're doing this. We're just going to come by and with a camera to your office if you don't mind, and talk about this joke. I said, well, that sounds funny. I never dreamed it was going to be in a movie. Suddenly, they did a great job.
So it went back as far as 3 years ago. They started the project.
2 years ago, a while ago. But the movie that I'm going around plugging, the thing about my folks, which is stars Peter Falk and myself, I actually had been working on that for years. I had the idea about 20 years ago, and I always knew I wanted to write a movie where Peter Falk played my father. I didn't know what, but I just said there's something about him that we have to do. And
is he similar to your father in a way? Is that what resonated with you?
He is.
He plays your dad in the movie.
He plays my dad. He reminds me of my dad. My dad used to love him, as I always have. And when my wife first met Peter, she said, you know, we were already planning to do the movie now, and we had dinner together, and as soon as we left, she says, oh, my God, that is your dad. He is your dad. I said, that's why we're not having dinner with Joey Bishop. Exactly. Peter is the guy. And he's a genius. I'm hoping this is going to be his Oscar. Everybody loves Peter, and we've been going to cities all over the place, and he's like a god. He's like a rock star. You don't think of it? And then people, like, men love him, women love him, young women who've never even met him going, wow, that's the sexiest, charmingest old guy I've ever seen. And he can slap the snot out of you. He is the strongest, toughest guy.
Because he kicks some ass in the movie.
Oh, he's tough. He's great. And I, you know, from the in-laws and going back to Robert Sevenhood, the Great Race. I just adored him. And in this, he gets to be... it's a full rainbow of stuff, man. He's tough. He starts off as your dad. And it's really the movie is about father and son who never really got to spend time together. End up spending a time by accident because dad shows up and he says, I think mommy's left me.
Right.
And suddenly we're off looking for mom and in the process end up bonding and knowing stuff about each other.
It's sort of a buddy picture and a road picture.
Yeah, and it's a really funny buddy picture, but it ends up digging up stuff that neither of them knew about and their family's sort of secrets.
Is it autobiographical?
It's semi-autobiographical. There's a lot of conversations that I just had with my dad or wanted to have with my dad, but the story I kind of made up. And, you know, because we never really get to know by definition, we never know our parents when they're young.
Hopefully.
They're grown-ups when we get here.
Unless you're one of Britney Spears' kids,
But, you know, so this trip starts off and he's dad, and he's, you know, like everybody's dad. You roll your eyes, oh, geez, he's just, oh, what are we going to do with Pop? And then he sort of starts relaxing and becoming this guy, and he went, I didn't know dad could play pool. I didn't know dad could fight. I didn't know he had these kind of things going on when in his 20s. I never heard that about mom. He go, wow. So it's...
Well, in the movie you ask this question. I think that sometimes everyone flirts with asking their parents. It's like, you know, when did you first nail mom?
Yeah, exactly. And everybody wants to know, but you also don't really want to know.
Right.
Give me a little information, but don't paint it out too clearly. And... But it's funny, we've been showing this movie, you know, it's an independent film, and so it started out small, and we took it to film festivals, so we took it to everywhere. We were in Seattle, Kansas City, and Texas, and Florida, and I always say, well, this is my parents, and there'll be a few people that will relate to it. But I got to tell you, everywhere we go, people of every age and every nationality going, oh, those are my parents. That's exactly what we've been talking about. So there's something, as Mel Brooks would say, there's something bigger than Phil. There's something going on with this movie that people are really responding to.
Well, you nail right off the bat the talcum powder thing. Because your dad in the movie is a talcum powder fanatic. I actually had to swear. My wife made me swear off talcum powder. Because I could have been that old dude with spraying the talcum powder.
I grew up, my dad, you know, we always knew dad was home and had been in the shower. be like a 3-inch layer throughout the house. Like a Scarface, you know, just like, it's like.
You said you couldn't tell the difference between, you couldn't identify the difference between him and a baby's baby.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, he always used it, and to this day, I think of my dad, and if you put me across the room, I couldn't tell you the difference between a naked baby and my father's ball. It's
just, there's a similarity. If you close my eyes, I couldn't tell you.
But it's great. It's really interesting. He is, he's, you know, been doing movies since they started making them. But I don't think he's ever done this. He's going...
like on a junket.
Yeah, but we're going like 20-something cities, and this guy is tireless.
And he's supposed to be in here this morning. What was...
He was. Apparently, he is tireless. He's not so tireless. He's tired.
I take that back.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's tireless going. After 10:30. After 10:30, he's tired.
And he'll kick your ass after 10:30.
Yeah, but don't get him now, because...
Yeah.
But, he's into this. I mean, he is really just kind of in love with this movie, and I've seen it so many times, and I just watch it over and over for him. He's so...
Were you a fan of the stuff that he did with Cassavetes, John Cassavetes? I mean, that was all really intense.
Husbands.
A lot of that was improv. Was any of this improv?
Most of this is... No, very little of it was improv, but, you know, I wrote it. A lot of people think it is because it sounds so natural.
Right.
I walk around thinking like Peter Falk anyway.
Right.
So I wrote this stuff, and when he said it, just, well, that sounds exactly like how I pictured it. But there are a couple of places where, you know, he would make up a line and go, well, that's much funnier than I could have written. Just go with that.
Like you're going to argue. Anyway.
Yeah.
Paul, did you... obviously, you wrote the Mad About You theme song. Did you write any music for the movie?
I didn't write music for the movie, but I'm in the back of the theater humming along. So,
like old silent movies. Yeah.
There's some great old tunes in there, and didn't write it. No, but we were talking about the Stones before.
Yeah, yeah.
Co-wrote the "Mad About You" theme song with Don Was, who produced the Stones' new album.
Oh, there you go. Look how the synchronicity of that lines up.
I met Don Was one time. He's a very cool guy.
He is a cool guy. He's a very cool guy.
Is your father alive?
My father is not alive. My mom is around. And you can identify her in the theater. She's the one running around screaming, lies! They're all lies! None of this happened! So look for that, folks.
Was there any element? Because your mom sort of, in the movie, sort of betrays a... what if my life had taken a different path?
Olympia Dukakis, the lovely Olympia Dukakis, plays my wife. I'm the only guy in the movie who's never been nominated for an Oscar, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah, Peter Falk, Olympia Dukakis, me, not so much. And it's a made-up story, but I always heard those things. And one of the things that is true in the story that was my parents. My parents got married during World War II,
mm-hmm.
and... she came out of college and went for her first job interview, which was with my dad. As it turns out, got the job and then kind of stayed and ran the company while he was off in the war and got married, had kids. And next thing you know, you're 75. And
right, yeah.
And once we were just talking about that. I always wonder, how do you go from being 20 years old, making out in a car, and suddenly you're 75 and you're falling asleep to Mike Wallace? How does that...
it involves a lot of talcum powder, apparently.
A lot of talcum powder. So, but yeah, I think all of us, you end up... And, you know, now in your 40s and I have kids of my own, you start realizing, oh, okay, it's just sort of a... We're all on this train together. You start off young, you get older.
Do you find yourself doing stuff that your dad did?
Totally.
I mean, does that freak you out when you catch yourself doing yourself doing
totally.
This
Totally. And then you start seeing your kids who've never even, you know, he never even met my dad.
Right.
And they start talking like him and doing things. I go, wow, there's a gene that just likes to put ketchup on with that kind of motion.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, something dopey. But as I say, it's really funny to me and kind of encouraging to see how many people recognize their parents and their family in that. And to me, I thought, well, this is a movie that's going to be for 35 and older. And... which is fine, because I'm thinking, you know, there's enough movies for the 20-year-olds. And then kids are coming over to me, 22, and going, hey, man, this is not just for 40-year-olds. I love that.
Cool.
So it's really exciting.
Excellent. Well, good luck with the film, Paul. It's called The Thing About My Folks.
We're telling everybody, you got to come opening weekend. Because to me, it's like, when you get a chance to see it. But apparently, in show business, it's all that opening weekend.
Opening weekend is big.
Come down, bring your friends, and tell a friend. But I hope you'll enjoy it, and come on down. Hope to see you there.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
All right, Paul Reiser game.
Yeah.
Preston and Steve.
There you go.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's begin with this story. Sarcasm can be a tricky thing. Just ask Andrew James Harris, who, according to court records, discovered the joke was on him when he ended up the subject of an undercover drug sting. And it all started at the Courtyard by Marriott Hotel in Mission Valley, where Harris got into a friendly conversation with a woman and two men relaxing in the hot tub. He asked the reason for their stay, and one of them jokingly responded that their crack lab had blown up. But the wisecrack was lost on Harris. He excitedly disclosed that he was in the drug business as well. Well, little did he know, his new acquaintances were off-duty sheriff's deputies from Marin County who were in San Diego for a two-week specialized narcotics training course.
Oh, my God.
And they were about to get some hands-on experience. One of the detectives in the hot tub said in an interview that it was especially surprising that Harris fell for the crack lab joke because crack labs don't blow up. That's meth labs.
Meth labs, yeah.
Hey, I'm into the same business. But she said, we let him lead the conversation and take it where he wanted to go. She said that she and her colleagues had a great story for their class the next day. The next night, the three deputies were in the hot tub. And again, this time with six other law enforcement officers in town for the training, Harris came wandering up. He said, hey, guys, I think I have something you'll be interested in. And he came back with an eight ball of cocaine in a hat.
Oh, my God.
She told him that because she was in her bikini, she had nowhere to put it, but they'd talk later. Well, the deputies discussed the hot tub contacts with the narcotics task force officer teaching their class, and the decision was made to run with the scenario. The next day, the deputies met Harris at a restaurant and introduced him to the undercover task force officer as their uncle, a hippie from Ocean Beach, interested in buying LSD. The officer bought 4 grams of cocaine and 50 tabs of LSD for $600.
Oh, and I also brought a box with a dead hooker in it.
The deputies eventually went back home, and the undercover officer who had made the restaurant buy continued the sting. The officer and Harris met for another deal at a Starbucks parking lot with about 3.5 grams of cocaine and 20 tabs of LSD. The officer and another undercover special agent met Harris on another occasion at a Home Depot parking lot.
It's a high-end operation here.
And he attempted to sell them 30 grams of cocaine and 100 tabs of LSD for $2,000. They arrested him that time, and they put him away.
They could have just let him keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we may have just found the perfect match for the woman who attempted, and I had this story in the Bizarre File a while back, attempted to sneak in booze at an event in a salami sandwich.
Yes. We thought it was actually pretty crafty.
She had a bottle of vodka that she stashed in a salami sandwich. Well, though she was caught, the unnamed woman was praised for her valiant effort as she hid the bottle of vodka inside a hollowed-out tomato and salami baguette. But a new guy has just trumped her after coming up with an elaborate plan to actually bury his booze before this festival that he went to took place, and then dug it up once he got in there.
In advance, he got onto the grounds and buried it.
Pretty smart.
And as a reward for such dedication, he was obviously 100% successful. The man named Alex decided to head to Randall's Island, New York, 3 weeks before the Electric Zoo Festival was due to take place to hide the water bottle full of vodka. Alex said, we used Google Maps and marked our spot on GPS so that we knew where it would be. And then we waited. Though the burying bit was easy, actually trying to find the vodka and then digging it up without cameras picking them up turned out to be harder than they had expected.
Getting the backhoe on the island was a bit of a bitch.
He said, once we got to the GPS spot, we all huddled around it, and I did a double take to make sure that we were in the clear, and then one of us dug up the vodka. So they stood around him while he did.
Sure, it'd look a little obvious.
Said it was a bit of an operation, but in the end, we got through it. All in all, it took us about 10 minutes. Then they spent the rest of the evening enjoying the fruits of their efforts. Alex later shared his successful operation on Facebook, which has since gone viral, with many people calling him, quote, a legend.
A legend?
That's a great idea.
I know somebody who may or may not have been me, who had a friend who went to their honeymoon spot a week before this person, who may or may not have been me,
yeah,
and had them bury some pot.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then drew a treasure map. And then may or may not have handed that treasure map to this person at their reception and said, hey, have fun.
And that may or may not have happened.
Yes.
Actually, that might be or maybe not a good idea. I like that. Wow. After a Berlin man farted twice in the presence of a female officer in February last year, he was made to pay a $900 fine. But a Berlin court reexamined the case this week. The defendant, Christopher S., had reportedly farted twice in the vicinity of a female police officer during an identity check. The team leader of the 32nd Police Unit saw this as a form of insult against his colleague. And
not a compliment.
Filed a complaint against the man. A year later, or Berlin court ordered a surprised Christopher S. to pay the $900 fine. Christopher's lawyer at the appeal hearing said on Tuesday, it is one thing if the leader of a police unit sees his colleague's honor as being injured by a fart, but it is quite another if prosecutors and the judiciary agree that is a failure of the state. Well, the appeals judge agreed with the defendant, throwing the case out within a matter of minutes. So he is not going to have to pay a $900 fine for farting twice near a police officer.
Justice triumphs.
Yeah. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and we will wrap it up. A fake FBI agent has been busted. Prosecutors say a man pretended to be a federal agent and robbed several businesses run by East African immigrants. In one case, he got away with more than $100,000 in cash. Prosecutors believe the suspect specifically targeted immigrant communities who are less likely to report a crime. Now, Stephen Wyatt Fisher appeared in front of a county judge Wednesday after police alleged that he went on a burglary spree in Seattle. Cops say he used a phony FBI badge and called himself Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan?
Which is, of course,
that guy's famous.
The Tom Clancy novels. And respected film adaptations.
Wow. And 16 Candles.
And 16 Candles.
That's Jake Ryan.
Jake. Oh. Prosecutors allege Fisher first hit a small wire transfer company where local immigrants can send money home. In January, prosecutors allege Fisher was able to dupe an employee into letting him walk out with nearly $130,000 in cash.
Agent Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. Then later this summer, police say Fisher again posed as an FBI agent at another wire transfer business. And in both cases, investigators say Fisher told his victims that he was the good guy trying to save them from a robbery that was about to take place. And he was Agent Jack Ryan.
Agent Dong, Long Duck Dong.
And that's... is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
I had mentioned a wedding a little while ago. I do want to give a shout out and a congratulations to former intern Lizzie. She interned for us years and years ago. She got married on Friday night.
Yay!
To Billy.
Oh, Billy.
To Bill Rose. So congratulations to Lizzie.
Very nice.
Happy to hear that.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And what's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Miley Cyrus celebrated her 22nd birthday Saturday night, partying at Factory Nightclub in Hollywood, where she went topless while riding a full-sized mechanical dildo. Cyrus did tuck her out quickly, though, deciding to go home early and have relations with her neighbor's dog.
Hey!
37-year-old Robin Thicke finally revealing what many had suspected, that he's dating 19-year-old April Love Geary. Thicke says that while many have assumed they have nothing in common, April loves it when he jingles his house keys.
Hey!
And finally, Halle Berry has taken her ex, Gabriel Aubrey, to court, claiming he's trying to make the 6-year-old white. Berry claims Aubrey has straightened all his hair, highlighted it, and taught her to love mayonnaise.
Steve, you sent this article over to me. It's from Rolling Stone. They released the results of a reader's poll that asked, what are the worst bands of the 1990s?
Yeah.
And there is a surprising band on the list.
Yeah, because this is the reader's poll. Yeah. It sort of blew my mind.
At number 5, they have on the list Nirvana.
Nirvana.
Worst bands of the 90s.
Well, why? What's the definition?
You know what? I don't know. And this is not the actual article from Rolling Stone.
It's the teaser article.
About it.
Yeah.
But it says, for the most part, the voters' dislikes were unsurprising. Creed, Nickelback, you know, bands like that.
Yeah.
But number 5 on the list, it says, is Nirvana. The Nirvana. In an editorializing that accompanied the crowdsourced compilation of contempt, Rolling Stone staffers were quick to unequivocally disagree with the voters, saying, what the F happened here? Everyone who voted for Nirvana in this poll is wrong.
I will say this, and I bet you many people feel this way about Pearl Jam too, which is my favorite band, but I liked Nirvana a lot more in the 90s than I do now. And maybe it's because they haven't obviously been around to evolve or become what Pearl Jam has become, but I liked Nirvana when they came out and when they were fresh.
I'm
burnt out on Nirvana, and obviously there's nothing new about Nirvana anymore.
I didn't, but I wasn't in love with Nirvana. There were so many people who likened the death of Kurt Cobain to John Lennon, and I didn't think it was that level. I thought that they were good. I never put on Nirvana myself, you know, for enjoyment.
They were certainly groundbreaking.
They were.
But I know what you're saying.
There were other bands that they spawned that I liked more. You know, a la Alice in Chains and Soundgarden.
You like Foo Fighters more than Nirvana.
I love the Foo Fighters. And to me, it was always something that I thought was bizarre that apparently Kurt Cobain felt that part of his stress was that he had to be the songwriter for the band. I was like, dude, don't worry, your drummer's good.
I would say that I kind of agree what you say, Nick. I mean, like I appreciate Nirvana, and at the time they were groundbreaking. They did open up some big doors.
They changed the direction and they killed some bands too.
They definitely killed some bands.
That time was over. That glam hair, yes, glam metal.
That was the end.
They killed it.
But if I hear All Apologies one more time,
yeah, no.
That song in particular, it's down, it's dreary, it's a drag, but a lot of people still love it, right. You know, but that, I just, oh, I can't stand that song. I've had it with it. But on the other hand, one of my all-time favorite songs,
yes,
is this song. Hang on a second here, it takes a second to kick in, and this is just undeniably, this song rocks. This song is on my workout mix. I love that.
When the height of this was kicked in, when a lot of the music was like this, I love this period.
Yeah. The only Nirvana I listened to over and over again was Unplugged. And I don't know what that says about me and my musical taste, but Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Something in the Way is just...
Yeah.
Oh.
And so that would be one where, especially in case you and I went to college at the same time, like that would end up on the college stereo system and you would just listen to that. Whereas the other Nirvana stuff, I wouldn't listen to on repeat.
I'm looking at the article from Rolling Stone. Number one, I hate Rolling Stone. I can't stand it.
It has become...
I want to smack Rolling Stone in the face.
I could not agree more.
I used to be a subscriber.
You had to read it.
I used to love getting it. There was great information. But the opinion of some of these people is so elitist and so cool and too hip for the room. And then they started putting way too much politics. I can't stand politics on left,
to begin with, right?
Left or right.
Yeah.
I just hate it. I'm here to read about music, you know? And I cancel my subscription. And I just they kind of make me sick, to be honest, Rolling Stone. But it's still a reputable, you know, magazine. Let me tell you how I really feel.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So I really actually love it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Let me take this article and wipe my ass with it real quick.
But I really I love reading it, even with the poop on it.
As far as reviewers and, you know, critics and when they get all elitist and stuff like that, you, my friend, are in the minority. And maybe you like it that way. Maybe it makes you feel cool to not like or to dislike what everybody else does like. But shut your frickin' hole, man.
I think it's time for Occupy Us. Right?
Yeah. What?
Occupy Us.
I'm such a hypocrite, though. I'm sure there are certain things that
you're complete. But that's reserve the right to be complete hypocrites and liars.
All right. Do you want me to give you the top 10 list of the most, what are they?
Of the 90s, the most, the
worst bands. Okay. Let me use that word. Worst bands of the 1990s. Please, all of you, guess away.
I knew that the couple that you mentioned. You mentioned Creed and you mentioned Nickelback.
Yeah, Creed's number one, by the way.
Is Nickelback a band of the 90s?
Late 90s, maybe?
Let me see here. Nickelback is number two on the list, yeah?
Who else would be on that list? And that we're talking rock, mainly rock.
I see one pop, couple of pop, three pop, and the rest are rock.
Uh-huh.
No hip hop or anything like
boy
that.
Boy bands?
No one hit wonders.
NSYNC?
Kind of boy. No.
There's a boy. I saw the list. There's a boy band, right?
Is there? Well, yeah, if you want to call them that.
Kind of.
Yeah. They actually have talent. They play their instruments.
Oh, Hanson.
Yeah, Hanson. All right. Number four. Actually,
they were just in town.
They're very talented, actually.
Yeah, they did a show down in Delaware, and some dude sent me a YouTube video. He proposed to his girlfriend on stage, and Hanson was there, and they congratulated him.
It was actually
kind of sweet.
Worst band of the 90s.
Who comes to mind? Anybody? I got Hanson.
A lot of people are calling me out right now because
about Mumford and Sons.
Everybody loves Mumford and Sons, and I
I've had a feeling that might pop up.
I vowed not to talk about them anymore.
I'm gonna talk to my press agent.
Yeah,
that's when you do it. You pull that routine.
Who else?
To my PR people.
You want me to name some of these?
Yeah, go through them.
Number 10, quite surprising. Dave Matthews Band, Nick. Nah. Worst
you know
band
what?
Of the 90s?
Bogus.
No way.
There is a subsection of people who are absolutely despise Dave Matthews.
Yeah, well, because he's successful and poppy at the same time, and therefore he can't be an artist or at all a good guitar player. Watch some of the chord progression that Dave Matthews does.
He's a great guitar player.
And watch what Carter Beaufort does and tell me that's not a good band.
Here's the deal. They should change the title of this article to Worst Successful Bands of the 1990s.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Because there are really bad bands that were not successful in the 90s that had a hit or two and should be on this list. Dave Matthews, I mean, multi-platinum.
Yeah.
You know, this is an extremely successful band, whether you like them or not. But, I mean, yeah, as far as Dave being a guitar player, I've always said the reason Carter Beaufort can be such a great drummer is because Dave's such a great rhythm guitar player. Mm-hmm. He takes the rhythm in the band. It's amazing.
Some people just don't like that sound, though. That's,
yes.
You know, like,
it's okay.
I remember when
it's
I was producing Bam's deal, and I was at his house, and they were going on and on about how, you know, Dave Matthews sucks, and then he looks at me, he goes, oh, you like him, you know, and then so I was under the gun because I like Dave Matthews, and then we went into, like, this song that he liked. And I'm like, all right, well, this song sucks, you know?
Right.
But, like, I don't prefer that
sound. Well, the missing phrase that people tend to leave out of anything like that is, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Because it is the quintessence of subjective.
Right.
It's you're supposed to take your own feelings into it, and that's it. In my opinion, this is crap.
Well, what do you call it? Kathy's husband used to always bust my chops about Fish. He'd be like, Fish sucks. And I'm like, all right, that's fine that you... Can you just say I don't like them rather than they suck? It's kind of like
it's not that he doesn't like them. It's that you do.
Yeah. No,
you know
but
what
it's
I mean?
Also,
like, he has to bust your balls about it.
I just hate that phrase, like, they suck. Like, you know, Sidney Crosby sucks. No. Actually,
he's pretty awesome.
He's one of the best dudes in the whole league. Yeah. So
Derek Jeter sucks.
Yeah.
Really, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But you don't like the Yankees. So,
All right, number 9 on this list is Ace of Base. He's the worst band in the
Mariners. Yeah. How much Ace of Base did you have to play?
Oh, I played every single song in the Kenny Night days,
what's
dude.
What's your favorite?
Don't turn around, cause you're gonna see me hiding. Don't turn around. I mean, cause I saw the sign, I had enough of it.
I saw the sign, opened up my eyes, I saw the sign.
Oh, there was a, all that she wants is another baby.
Gone tomorrow. Yeah, all I want is for you. Your entire band to die in a plane crash. But we can't have what we want all the time.
All right, here's number 8 on the worst bands of the 90s. Spin Doctors.
Oh,
they were a fun band.
They had 2 songs. Oh, wait, they, 3.
They
were a fun band.
That one that tanked them, though, is Cleopatra's Cat.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It was okay.
Yo, Jimmy Olsen's Blues is awesome.
It's a great song.
I love that song.
I like Jimmy Olsen's Blues.
Remember, he was one of the first dudes I saw rocking that Seattle toque, though? That was his thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're Vermont-based, right? Are they?
No, New York City.
They're from Sweden. They lived with Ace of Base for a while.
I think they were just in town as well, too.
They were, actually. And Chris Barron is a very nice guy. He used to come by DRE quite a bit.
Can I have some food?
You just got Casey.
Oh,
it just spits. His spit is smoothie all over the place.
No, he wasn't there representing the band. He was panhandling.
Oh, we didn't have a camera on him either. For the Daily Rush.
Yeah.
All right. It's on him now. Recreate that. All right. Number 7 is Bush.
Yeah.
I don't really like Bush that much,
you know,
man.
That's what your wife said.
Yeah.
They get flack for being derivative. You know, people compare Gavin to Eddie Vedder, and people had that same knock against Stone Temple Pilots, is that Bush and Stone Temple Pilots wouldn't exist without Pearl Jam coming first.
There might be a case to be made for that, but I think Machine Head and Glycerin are fine songs.
I always liked Everything Zen. I always dug that song.
They're a lighter version of you know what you might find from Pearl Jam or the other bands. But had a nice sound.
I never understood what the hell they were talking about. And
they don't either.
Lyrically, I'm like, none of this makes any sense at all.
But you know what? The Gavin Rossdale's last solo album, I really, really liked.
Well, he's got a great voice.
He does have a good voice. And he did that interview with Pierre. And you know,
I'd like to thank Casey for buying my album.
I didn't buy it.
For stealing my album.
He did a cover. What did he cover? That was
Landslide.
Landslide. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this song, you know, everybody's covering it.
She'll be coming around the mountain.
It was really, really good. But so his solo stuff is really good. I just didn't like
Landslide. Is Joe such a covered song? It's like enough with the Landslide.
He did a nice job.
It's
with
good,
it, man.
Steve.
Yeah.
So they're number seven on the list, and I'm going to put this out there.
All right, throw it out.
And
there.
I'm going to catch some crap for this, but number six on the list. I love this band. I do, and they got the they got overplayed more than any band in the 90s.
Really?
You
okay.
Want to take a guess or nah?
Smashing Pumpkins?
Blues Traveler?
No. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah. Well, that record
was
awesome.
I think Darius Rucker is a great singer, and the songs are, they're hooky, and they're, you know, they're adult contemporary. My wife and I dig listening to Hootie and the Blowfish. I saw them in concert, and they were awesome.
And this is the truth. The proof is in the ambiguously African American pudding, yeah. and his country music.
He's doing really well.
The guy can write a song. The band was very talented.
The band
he's
name
talented.
Was horrible. Hootie and the Blowfish is a horrendously horrible band.
Yeah, it's not a good name.
Did it help them when on Friends they wanted to go see Hootie and the Blowfish? Remember that episode?
But I thought it was a good album. Cracked Rearview. They had some really good songs in there. But I'll catch a lot of crap for that. But whatever, it's what I like.
So suck it.
So suck it, please. Suck my Hootie and my Blowfish. Nirvana's number five. We already covered that. Number four was Hanson, and they only had the one song. I mean, they really did.
Mbop.
They didn't have a follow up to that, did they? Could you name one other song besides Mbop?
Nope.
Mbop.
Yes.
Massive hit.
No.
They did. They followed up with a more thematic album called Sacrifice the Virgin.
Mm.
It was too dark.
Okay.
Very dark.
We're going in a different direction.
Sacrifice the Virgin.
So that's, this is according to Rolling Stone.
That's your Mbop follow up?
Reader's poll.
Didn't we kill one of the members of Hanson or Neely?
We almost killed him.
Right. Yeah.
We put Visine in his pudding.
The Great Divide was the song that they performed when they came in here in studio, and I have it on my iTunes. I really did. It's a good song.
Those guys can harmonize.
Yeah,
they're good, and they're nice.
Number three is Limp Bizkit.
Yep. They were just in town as well.
So there's maybe...
All these bands are still touring. When Lorenzo's and Sons reopened, Limp Bizkit was in town the night before, and they were at the TLA. And
a couple of people had just seen him who were out at the Lorenzo's opening, but... two good songs?
Yeah.
I didn't really care for Nookie. I thought
Nookie sucks.
Well, you know what?
Dumb song.
You can take that cookie and shove it up your yeah.
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 Shove it up your
yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Shove it up your
yeah.
Shove it up your
yeah.
Yeah. What was it? What is it? Rollin'.
I like that song.
What's the title of that?
Rollin'.
There we go. They're very great.
Which, by the way, I'm writing that down because that's a good
rollin'.
That's a good workout tune.
I made a music video of my child when she rolled over for the first time.
I remember that.
Rollin'. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other two we already mentioned, Nickelback was number two, and Creed, number one worst band.
I really don't consider them 90s bands. But
the 1990s. What do you consider, 2000s?
Yeah. That's
aughts?
When, the aughts. Yeah, that's when they became huge.
Oh.
But I guess Nickelback started in 1995.
Marissa writes down, missing Matchbox 20.
No.
I like Matchbox 20, some of the Matchbox 20 stuff. Yeah. I know that makes me, I even like some Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
yeah, yes. I love half the bands on this list. Ace of Base was like, I loved them when I was a kid. But compared to most of the bands on here, I think Matchbox 20 should be on there.
Rob Thomas, huge hit songwriter.
And Matchbox 20 is still around today. Are they? Yeah, they're cranking out some new tunes.
I tell you, a song I was a sucker for was the one he did with Santana, Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
Smooth. Man, it's a hot one.
And then they followed up with the...
boy, they banged the hell out of that song.
What was the follow-up hit that was almost exactly like it with that female singer? She was a female?
Oh, yeah, Michelle Branch.
Yeah.
It was on that same album with him, which was...
Same style.
Super Unknown? No.
That's Soundgarden.
There's Super in there somewhere.
Soundgarden.
Soundtrack to Superman.
Califragilistic.
What was the name of that song?
Supermarket.
Little bit of this, little bit of that.
Hey!
Started with a kiss, now we're on to that. She was hot, man.
Supernatural.
I thought she was sexy. What's the name of that song? Is it a little bit of this? No, it's called Game of Love.
Game of Love.
The Game of Love.
I don't know that one.
Hi. Shut up. Hi. I can't sing.
Hi.
Give me your heart, make it real.
Oh, let's forget about it.
Shut
Sorry, I had to get on my bongos.
I knew it.
There's a Dave Matthews song.
You know how he's going to do that?
I knew. Everybody's going to join in.
You know what we need?
Give me a hug. Make it real.
Or let's forget about it.
You need to have your bongos on a harness that you can lower from the ceiling and pull them down.
I'll ask Rodney to set that up. It's like a mic in a boxing ring.
Your bongos right at your disposal.
All right, so anyway, well, that's according to Rolling Stone. Take it for what it is, but that's the readers.
Man, that's a good record. I'm just looking at the song, that Supernatural.
What else on there? What are the bands?
Love of My Life with Dave Matthews and Carter Beaufort. Put Your Lights On featuring Everlast. Remember
Put
that?
Your Lights
that's
On!
A great song.
You jerk off! I almost ran into you!
That's the opening.
Right, you remember.
Put Your Lights On! Hey! I couldn't even see you!
No, that song was...
We played it on Y100.
We did, but that song kind of came out right after...
Put Your Lights On.
Everlast...
Put Your Lights On!
And then you play the bongos, Preston. Hold
on. Put Your Lights On, you jerk off!
My favorite Everlast. Santana album?
Yeah.
Z-Bop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Winning on it, which is a great song.
But anyway, Everlast actually died. He was pronounced dead, and then he came back to life.
Yes, as an angel.
What was it, an overdose or something?
No
he has a congenital heart issue. Mm-hmm.
So it was an overdose.
His heart is attached to his genitals.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, yeah, so what else is on here, Nick? Some of the other, besides, Put Your Lights On! I didn't even see you, you jerk off!
That Maria song with Wyclef, and then the Do You Like the Way with Lauryn Hill and CeeLo Green.
Lauryn Hill just got sent to prison for tax evasion.
And is she local? Does she have local ties?
She's Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
With the Fugees.
All right, anyway, what else?
And there was a Clapton one on there, The Calling.
Most of these songs I don't know.
You probably do, though. That's like this record got played a lot, and Maria with... there was a female singer on it. Anyway, it's a good record.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Available at Walmart
record stores.
And fine record stores everywhere.
Yeah.
Check your Sam Goody.
Steve, remember you get like 20 albums for a penny?
The Columbia Record Club.
Columbia Records.
Yeah. You get 20 albums.
You know, the Order album.
What is Order album? My plan was always to do it in reverse, Preston, as I told you, where you buy one album for $300 and then you get every other album for a penny.
Right. That'd be nice. Hey, by the way, Chuck texted in, and I would agree.
What?
A band that I felt was totally overrated in the 90s, albeit they had a couple of good songs, was Oasis. I just didn't get the whole Oasis thing.
I like them.
I thought Champagne Supernova was a good song, but
it wasn't.
I everybody, you know, in England, they were like, these are the Beatles.
These are great. Awesome, they all did Oasis, they all.
And I just thought they were. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. They are.
I mean, Wonderwall was their first hit, and it was.
They weren't as good as they thought they were. Yeah. They were not the Beatles. I do like a number of their songs.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe is a good album. It really is, and that's the thing. Like, you have to go away from the radio hits to get to some really, really good songs that they have. That's what I'd say about that.
You know, it's a good song that they have. Message Boulder.
Message.
Yeah, that's a good one. They have a song that I love. I think it's called Coffee
Chicken
and Cigarettes.
Chicken Saddle did Message Boulder.
All right, sorry. Go ahead, Casey.
No, they have a good song. I think it's called Coffee and Cigarettes or Cigarettes and Coffee or something like that.
Sounds like a squeeze song.
Yeah,
it does actually.
Yeah. Message Boulder, Chicken Saddle. I'm writing. These are all great band names. I've got to release my band name list.
Sell them.
You know what? I will do that.
Sell the list.
All right, anyway, this is according to Rolling Stone.
And they put these lists out. Obviously, they knew that the bomb in that list is Nirvana.
But they didn't make up the list.
They did not.
These are the readers.
They didn't.
Their reviewers, their columnists are kind of...
they're elitist scum.
Yeah, they're kind of taken aback by this. But the top 10, Dave Matthews Band, Ace of Base, Spin Doctors, Bush... Hootie and the Blowfish, number 6, followed by Nirvana, then Hanson at number 4, Limp Bizkit, number 3. Number 2 is Nickelback, and the number 1 worst band of the 1990s, according to Rolling Stone, is Creed. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting list. So
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.